You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. We have the agenda before us. Is there any comments? Assemblymember Keogh.
I'd like to pull two items from the consent agenda, items F and G. They're resolutions 13-008 and 13-009.
Okay. Any other intentions? Assemblymember Webbs.
When we bring the consent agenda up, will we be allowed to amend some of these things?
Well, yes. Obviously, we can't take that power away from you, but the cities did request, in the best of our good intentions, to show our intentions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, no comment.
Okay, are there any objections to the agenda? It's a very, very thick packet, a lot of business, so we'll try to be really business-like tonight. And I'm going to ask Ms. Barker to lead us in the pledge when we stand. That's your reward for sitting up front.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Whoa, where'd that come from? So, any comments, objections to the minutes? Don't see any. We're now ready for reports from cities. Do we have Palmer? I did see Palmer here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, Mr. Moosey and Clerk. I know you have a very long agenda, so I'm going to be very brief. I just want to acknowledge that we had extended an invitation to Mr. Moosey and Mr. Woods to attend our first meeting of the year on January 8th, and appreciate their coming and sharing what's going on at the borough with the city, answering a few questions from the city council. I really do appreciate that. I think it does bode well for the working relationship between the city and the borough, so we appreciate that. We have, as you know, we're on a calendar fiscal year, so we've adopted a new budget. It's very modest in terms of it's just basically a continuation budget. We increased salaries for volunteer firefighters in keeping with the well-deserved increase that the borough passed this year. We adjusted our animal control budget to, and I think we have the new contract coming before the council at its next meeting. So we increased that a little bit, coming to terms with the borough on paying for the animal control, use of the animal control shelter. And a few other things, a little bit of money for rehab of some roads and the Palmer Depot. Appreciated being able to attend the workshop on the Matanuska River Master Plan January 9th. We look forward to working with the borough and your consultants on that as that goes forward. And also, we're meeting next week with Mr. Moosey trying to get some support as we move forward sort of on a more public relations political vein on addressing some of the issues, primarily dealing with environmental contamination as we try to develop the MatMade property. And then last but not least, certainly thank you, Mr. Mayor, for working with my mayor on this Bogart Road extension for the road and the potential of getting some money to build the water line for increased access to good water service in that area that's outside of our city boundaries but within our water district. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin, are you online?
Yeah, actually, I stayed online. But
Oh, very good. We couldn't hear you. But, well, so we will just count you present. City of Wasilla.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor DeVille, Assembly members, my name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have just one item tonight for you. You should have all received a packet within the last week on SART, which is the Sexual Assault Response Team. The reason you received that is that's also starting its circuit down in Juneau as of this week. As far as funding, we're asking for $125,000 in funding from the state for the startup program. And then the continuing funding, the yearly funding, we will be before you to ask for it for the borough assembly. So if you have any questions on that, let me know. You will notice that all four mayors that represent the valley did sign the letter. So if you have any questions on that, I mean, that's a worthwhile endeavor and affects everybody in the valley. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. Houston? Don't see Houston. So, school district. I guess we can just thank the school district for letting us be here. So we have U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Mr. Rice. Please state your name for the record. And
Bill Rice, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thank you, Mayor and Assembly members. See me tonight. Want to briefly talk about the Fish Passage program that that we have out here. I'm a Fish Passage engineer, and we're in partnership in the Mat-Su Salmon Partnership, which is over 100 different entities, and the borough and the Fish and Wildlife Service are part of it. And we're mainly concerned with maintaining salmon habitat so that we have sustainable salmon populations. And one of the big impetus, one of the big initiatives that we have is for the to keep salmon going up and acquiring their habitat. It's a very successful partnership with the borough. We, over the past 10 years, it's been a decade-long partnership. We're connecting habitats, but we're also connecting communities. And especially during the flood events of last year, this has played an important role in keeping communities connected. So every time we go and we correct a fish passage barrier, we're increasing the capacity for that crossing to sustain flood events as well. If you look in your handout, we have a small map here, and that is just an example that kind of shows some of the culverts in the core area. There's about almost 600 culverts in the valley in the Mat-Su Borough as a whole, and Fish and Game has a red, gray, green tiered analysis of them. Red are fish passage barriers, green are not barriers, and gray, a little more information is needed. So typically you can see that at least half of the culverts in the valley do impede fish in some way and are barriers. What's nice about this chart is that over the last decade, more than a decade, we've increased the amount of passing culverts by more than half. And so we're getting a lot of good restoration projects on the ground with over 81 of those so far. Over 60 of those 81 culverts were on borough roads alone. This is about a $6 million program so far, which is what's been spent on borough roads and with private landowners so far in the Mat-Su Borough. And if any of members want to talk more about kind of fish passage issues, culvert issues in their respective districts, I'm always available to talk about them and at any time. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the September floods. These are a couple of examples of what happened. One of the culvert failure on Oil Well Road and a bridge failure in Willow. And there's a lot of strong events. A lot of the borough got a 100-year event, and there was some damage, and it was listed as a federal disaster. But what I would like to show is that of those 81 culverts, that the program has restored. There were no failures. We only had one where the water overtopped the road. The culvert stayed in place. So that's a great rate of experience. So we have about 20 to 30% of those culverts, we think, experienced the 100-year flood event. So what's great about the program is we're also designing these things to accommodate these floods, keep fish passage, reduce downstream effects, and keep that public safety high. Future efforts that we're doing, there's about $2 million coming to the borough for this 2013 year from the state through sustainable salmon funds as well as the fish and wildlife matching borough funds. And it's dependent on borough funds, the road service area funds and the state funds that are requested. We leverage those, and every dollar that you get in those types of funds, we leverage and produce about twice to three times more available money to do more projects. So what are some, I was thinking of what some action steps that you may consider moving forward in 2013. And one is just to support the Fish Passage Program. About a month ago, I sent a letter to members here kind of detailing out the cost of the next 22 culverts that were prioritized with operations, maintenance, engineering, and ourselves. And they add up to about almost $5 million. So as you can see, it's not a cheap program, but it takes money to do. The support of the program is important in terms of looking at requests for the state funds, but also to consider different types of ordinances. When you look at when the Federal Emergency Management Agency came in after it was declared a federal disaster, and looked at what needs to be replaced in the borough, you can see that they look at things as far as policy standards and ordinances, and they're willing to replace things in a better way if there are practices in place that make better situations at road crossings. And so some things to consider for the Matsu borough is in your handouts. One is that during the 2006 floods in the Kenai, the Kenai borough introduced a flood ordinance that all crossings would accommodate the 100-year event, whether they're a bridge or a culvert. And that was because they had so many failures during those storm events that they didn't want that repeated in the past. And so that's one example of a good thing that could be considered here as well. Another thing is approval of the draft drainage design criteria that the borough has. These have not been finalized, but they're in draft form. They could be approved, and it would cover drainage, it would cover streams, it would cover fish, anadromous streams, and you could look at approving that type of design criteria. And lastly, just supporting the culvert replacements in your districts. Right now, road service bonds, there's many of them out there. Some of them have culverts, some of them don't. But that's also a good thing to realize. If it's on a fish-bearing stream, it'd be good to get those culverts replaced through that process as well. So with that, thank you for your time. And again, I'm available if anybody wants to talk at any time about these types of issues around your districts. Thank you.
And thank you for your service. MSCVB. That stands for Matanuska Visitors Convention and Visitors Bureau. Well, it's written wrong here. It's Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau without the convention.
Well, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, Mr. Moosey, I'm very pleased to be here tonight to give you an update on the Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau. I just returned late this afternoon from our annual two-day board planning retreat where we met at Mendultna Creek Lodge. The owner of that lodge, Mabel Wimmer, is on our board of directors, so we had a very rustic and Glen Highway experience, and we had a wonderful meeting where we discussed the opportunities and putting together our FY14 budget, which we'll deliver to the manager by March 1st. Well, last week I distributed several items to each of you, including our FY12 annual report and our financial audit, our winter newsletter, and our 2013 Matsu Valley Visitor Guide. In each of those communications, you'll discover the many programs and projects of the Matsu CVB that we're administering. In order to encourage visitors to choose the Matsu Valley as part of their Alaska vacation, next week, 50,000 2013 Matsu Valley visitor guides will be direct mailed to high potential visitors responding to the State of Alaska tourism marketing efforts. These labels or leads purchased from the Alaska Travel Industry Association indicate that they are planning to come visit Alaska in 2013. The mailing is timed during the peak travel planning season and is coordinated during the ATIA National Cable Television Campaign. In-state, we've signed up to attend and participate in the Matsu Valley Outdoorsman Show, the Great Alaska Sportsman Show in Anchorage, and the Fairbanks Outdoor Show. We recently redesigned and purchased a new 8-foot by 10-foot pop-up to be used at these trade shows. We intend to increase marketing efforts on South Central radio and web advertising this spring. Our popular Yahoo Matsu television ad is being edited with new HD video from a recent ATIA shoot and is scheduled to run on KTUU for 6 weeks in May and June. Our most important marketing tool is our website, alaskavisit.com. The Matsu CVB board has committed to improving our website visitor experience and went through the process of a website assessment. That plan guided us through a detailed expansion of our site. Since the site launched, we have added a Google Map feature to our listings and also a mobile site for smartphones. We recently implemented an online leads program where visitors to the site can request information and it will automatically send an email to those businesses who can fulfill the request. We have also added a TripAdvisor feature to member listings, and able to be a part of the communications of our destination, we are currently active on Twitter and Facebook and have over 4,500 fans and regularly post comments promoting local events and activities of the Matsu Valley. You can follow our Facebook posts at Visit Alaska's Matsu Valley. Our videos and slideshows have already been popular on our YouTube channel, Yahoo Matsu. We are currently integrating a social media hub on our website, including a blog. And finally, on the internet topic, we have partnered with the Alaska App, a popular, widely used, and marketed app on statewide visitor opportunities. The Matsu investment includes content and business listings throughout the borough. Matsu CVB is also partnering with ATIA in attending the LA Times Travel Show and the Boston Globe Travel Show. Casey, our marketing and communications manager, just returned from the American Bus Association Marketplace, where he had 27 appointments with tour operators encouraging new itineraries, including the Matsu Valley. We're also sponsoring a co-op advertising pages in the June issue of the Alaska Magazine, which will include additional editorial on the Matsu Valley. In June, we will attend the Travel Industry Association International Powwow, where we will partner with the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council and the Valdez CVB for the seventh year. This three-day event provides over 40 scheduled 20-minute meetings with international tour operators who are currently selling Alaska product or are planning to create a new tour. Our latest research reveals 13% of the visitors to Alaska are international, and they stay longer and spend more money. Nearly 50% of visitors to Alaska use a travel agent, and this year, for the very first time, we are distributing our visitor guide to 3,500 travel agents in the lower 48 who actively book Alaska. We are able to do this through a cooperative mailing program with the Alaska Travel Industry Association. The mailing is scheduled to drop the last week of January. I would like to just briefly update you on the progress of the Matsu Valley Gateway Visitor Center project. Our board of directors recognizes your support in including the project in your FY 2014 legislative priorities. Thank you very much. In September, the Matsu CVB signed an option to purchase agreement with MEA, giving us until September 30th, 2013, to secure funding to purchase the Old Homestead RV site. MEA realizes this is the preferred site of the future South Gateway Visitor Center and has communicated they want to work with us on the development. This puts us one step closer and is action that will leverage further partnerships and funding. The Matsu CVB has retained the services of Bill Allen to help us forward our efforts to find funding through the legislature and grant opportunities. We met with the manager Moosey in late December to strategize our efforts. We will actually be seeking $1.5 million this year for the site acquisition and design, less than the $2.5 million you have put in your legislative priorities. I'm forwarding a resolution for your support to the manager this evening to put before you on a future agenda. It is actually a combination of two previous resolutions you have supported on the gateway, but better describes the project and its purpose. Thank you. I hope to have it on one of your agendas real soon. Finally, I want to share this January 7th issue of Travel Agent Magazine. It's a national newspaper of the travel industry with a monthly newspaper and online circulation of 130,000 people. We pitched a story to reporter Johanna Jangil in a media event last fall on the development of a new South Denali Visitor Center in Denali State Park. This full-page article with photos and quotes from the Matsu CVB, Alaska State Parks, and Princess Tours is a very valuable media hit for awareness to travel to the Matsu Valley. Advertising in this same amount of column inches of this editorial would have cost over $20,000, and I will give this to Manager Moosey for his efforts and to pass around, but if you have any questions, I'm still driving. Okay.
Thank you very much. So we had no committee. Did we have a committee meeting, Assemblymember Culver?
No, Mr. Mayor, but I was going to ask you if I could give a quick update on the ASAP pipeline in this area, if you'd like.
Well, boy, I think given our agenda, probably not. It's not a committee. We'll pick it up on assembly comments. We'll know how much time we've got by the time we get down there. Assembly Public Relations. I did attend a task force of local agencies presented with a study on what they call the great tsunami that's coming at us. We've got some really big demographics coming as far as our 65 and older population in this borough. And another task force I was part of with mayors and state agencies on disaster recovery. We're a lot more prepared to deal with disasters than we are to deal with the recoveries after the disaster. So that's going to be an ongoing process. Mr. Manager, it's your time.
Good evening. I have a few things for you this evening and then some important guests here. First, January 27th to 29th, I'll be traveling to Juneau to support the priorities of the Assembly with our legislature. This past week, we made it down to Seattle to talk to FTA about our favorite boat. It is my intention, after dealing with FTA, to have the boat put in for sealed bids that would occur in the month of February and March. At the next meeting, we'll talk a little bit more about the details. But we see a way, after FTA saw the great effort that we had trying to find a home for this, to end this ferry saga. Also, too, on your agenda is Municipality of Anchorage, Fairbanks Bureau, Kenai Borough, and Ketchikan has invited the borough to a meeting to talk about education funding and their request for the state to provide full funding. We're picking up approximately $22 million annually, and it's their push for the state to pick up those costs. I have a draft resolution and a chart here for your information. We've not discussed this, so I don't want to jump ahead, but if you have any input or would like to take action on this, please let me know and we can move forward. The last thing is the last couple of days you received some emails regarding an organization that we had a relationship with, Fairbanks Loving Companions, which is an animal shelter. Those issues were brought to our attention. We explored those, and we have discovered that the concerns that were brought forward were accurate. And so we have terminated our relationship with them, and we're looking at a policy change to prevent those type of activities. Next, this evening, we have our colleagues from the Moose Federation to give you a presentation.
Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss, Mr. Moosey, members of the Assembly. And to keep
state,
it brief,
state your name for the record.
Oh, I apologize. Gary Olson, Executive Director of the Alaska Moose Federation. To keep it brief, I know you guys have a large load tonight. I didn't bring a PowerPoint presentation, just simply summarizing what was performed this last winter and kind of bring you up to speed on some of the changes coming. We were created as an organization for what happened, especially out here in the last winter with all the deep snow. There was about 455 moose collisions that were posted on the signs. We actually picked up about 50 more moose than that with a salvage program. Real briefly, what the Moose Federation, I believe, as a founder and executive director with this organization for about 10 years, is we have provided the opportunity with the state agencies to bring a public-private partnership with an interagency effort together to deal with something that a lot of people feel is kind of a routine of living here, but the trends are increasing along with increasing traffic of moose collisions. To give an idea of how bad the winter was this last year, on the 2nd of February, in 24 hours, we picked up 17 salvage moose between Tauke and Odega River. We averaged about 10 moose a day in the heat of the winter. That was mostly a reactive process where the deep snows came early, they came often. I believe it was about 6 feet standing snow. 2 days before the Iditarod, it snowed 36 more inches. So it was just compounding over and over again. A lot of changes have come off that. And the first of its kind, memorandum of understanding between DOT and Fish and Game now, where we're seeing a lot more agency interaction between the two. We're seeing a lot of industry coming on board and want to help start to become proactive rather than just being good at picking up dead moose off broken cars and hurt people. Recent partnership just came online was the 302 operators and training union that want to provide dozers for going out and working with our big roller chopper for enhancing habitat back away from these highway corridors. And also some significant changes with DOT and the way they want to start doing right-of-ways and maintaining them instead of infrequent maintenance when actually can lead to collisions with a lot of food placed on the side of these corridors. A presence to tell where we've been. You see the new right-of-ways north of Willow between Willow and Kashwitna. That increased right-of-way gives you line of sight so you can see the moose and have an opportunity to not hit it, and also removing that food source away from the right-of-ways and starting to enhance food away from the corridors. We fully support the resurrection of a forestry program that could also lead with habitat enhancement away from these corridors in adequate quantities as fish and game is prescribing. And one of the things that we're really wanting to see the borough to consider is, in essence, to make these programs within the Strategic Transportation Safety Plan of DOT your programs. We see a lot of interaction coming with the boroughs between each other in these different areas. All the Moose Federation is a tool to go out and help get the work done with these agencies. The acquisition of our biologist, Dr. Bill Wall, in July, has built a tremendous amount of rapport with Fish and Game and with DOT. And one of his qualifications, he's been in four other states down south building this public-private interagency partnerships successfully in these other states, with industry as the lead, bringing abundance of wildlife away from these transportation corridors rather than on them. And another component is he was head wildlife scientist for Safari Club International worldwide for 7 years out of D.C. So he has a tremendous understanding how programs are done in other parts of the world, other states that have been a state a lot longer than we've have and have figured out some of these problems that we can draw from. So in closing, one of the things to keep in mind also is with the fuel standards coming out of our nation's capital, they're calling for 54 miles per gallon by 2025. You're going to see a lot more smart cars. You're going to see a lot more cars. As the cars continue to get a lot smaller, the Moose are going to stay the same size. And so we're asking your assistance. Please help us in helping the agencies becoming more proactive on these problems rather than just, again, chasing dead moose on roads. And let's try to get them back in the woods where they belong to begin with. So, again, we appreciate your support on this. We appreciate your dialogue with state agencies that are actually working to fix these programs. And we hope at the end of the day you guys look at this as your program that we are here to help you on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Mr. Manager?
Next, we have Mr. Joe Perkins to discuss our start on our rope bond projects.
It sounds like a new hat.
Thank you, Mr. Moosey, and good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. It's good to be in Mat-Su and be before you all.
State just for
I am Joe Perkins.
Yeah, thank you.
I still am. And I was hired by the borough very recently to review the status of the bond projects and other projects and assist in speeding up the development of those projects. I might say I work very closely with the staff members of Public Works and appreciate their cooperation in all of this. I'm going to try to keep this as brief and simple as possible. When I look at your agenda, I think you all are going to be here a long time. But anyway, we'll try to keep it brief and give you the information that you need. In your packets, there is a map for those of you who may have forgotten exactly where some of those projects were. And those are the bond projects that are in your on that map, and they're listed by numbers keyed to the top. So anyway, that's for your information in case one's outside your district or something and you're sort of wondering where it is. I'd like to start and talk about what we're going to construct in the borough on the bond projects this year. And we have listed these projects, and I'd like to go quickly down the list. The Caswell Lakes Road upgrade and paving, Houston Hawk Lane, Willow Lake Drive will all be under construction this summer. They will be bid out as one project because they are all upgrade and paving, and basically it's all the same work. Mocketance Elementary School access is a difficult project. We have not procured the right-of-way next to the Parks Highway yet, but we do have the design sufficiently along that we could do the bridge across the railroad and some of the other work. So we're going to take that project and break it into two phases. And we plan to construct phase one this summer, which will include the railroad bridge. Sullivan and Caudill is, of course, a road that's on down toward the old Glen Highway. And that's adjacent to another project, which is Butte Old Glen Pathway. So we're going to combine those projects into one project. We have a problem with the Butte Old Glen Park pathway in that when you go past Sullivan, the DOT right-of-way goes basically down to nothing. And I'm afraid when we really go back and take a look at it, we may have to take some houses, and we certainly don't want to do that. So what we will do is we will build the pathway starting at Plumley and going down to Sullivan. And, of course, you have on Sullivan and Caudill a pathway, too, so that whole area will be connected. But from Sullivan on down to the river, that's going to have to wait until we can resolve the right-of-way problem. And, by the way, that is all DOT right-of-way. The borough has no right-of-way on that. So those two will be in the same contract. Going to the next page, Sutton Paved Pathway, that's a very short little pathway from the school to the library. We will have no problem doing that this summer. The pathway from the library on down to the road and then along the road is a project that the Chickaloon group is working on, and they're going to be doing another pathway out there that we will connect into, which is going to work out quite well. Wasilla Clap Mac Road, $7 million. I assume that we will get this done this year. The city of Wasilla is doing the design. I think they've pretty well completed the design. Some right-of-way problems, but they're solving those, and we expect that that will be under construction this next summer. Big Lake Intersection. There's two intersections involved. Both of those intersections belong to DOT. So we looked at what can we do for a project there. And we do have on the North Shore intersection, we do have some very, very tough and bad drainage problems. So we think that we can go ahead and put out a project this summer to fix the drainage without getting on DOT and at least get that portion fixed. The other intersection, I don't think we're going to be able to convince DOT to do much with it. It's all DOT land, and it's not in their plans. And I think we'll probably need the vast majority of this money for the North Shore intersection. So that
Where is that? Is that?
That is the Hollywood and Vine.
Oh, at the Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Hollywood and Vine. It's Hollywood and Big Lake, South Big Lake. The total dollars of bonds, bond projects that we'll have committed this year is 31.8, as indicated on that. Now, that's the total amount of money that's been appropriated, both from the bonds and from the state the match. You need to knock off about 20% of that to get to the amount available for construction. Of that 20%, 5 of it is a finance administrative charge for the borough, 5% of it basically for construction management, and probably 10% for design. So a good number to use on the bond funds, the construction value is going to be somewhere around $25.4 million. And that pretty well takes care of the construction that we're going to be doing on bond projects. However, I was asked to look at some other projects in the borough and see if we can speed them up also. And on the next page is other projects that have been previously funded that we are going to be able to work on construction this summer. The first one's a Connect River Road, a mile of paving at the end of that road. We will get that contracted out and the work done this summer. That is a DOT road. DOT is pretty happy with us paving the last mile of it because it saves them running a grader all the way down Connect Road to clean up that last part. Bogard Road, you had $13.5 million appropriated this last legislative session. That is not enough to do Bogard, But we need to get construction going. So we're taking a look, and we're going to phase Bogard Road into two phases, a Palmer portion and a portion that's on up by Colony. And we will, with the designer, and there is a change order that you all will approve tonight, we're going to have the designer pick the point in the phase that will meet this money. Where are we going to phase it? What point will it be? And we would intend to put that phase one, which is going to be the Palmer end, under construction this summer. We also, very shortly, will, after we get the engineer going, know how much phase two is going to cost, and that's going to allow you all to push the legislature pretty hard for that extra money. But I think it's critical that we get the money spent that they've already given us before we ask for any more. Machen Drive is ready to go. It's actually, most of you are familiar with that. It's a park's highway connector. It's sort of a road next to the park. And we plan to put it under construction this summer also. There will be four bridge construction projects done throughout the borough. And there should be no problem at all getting them on the street and those under construction. The next big one is South Big Lake Road realignment. As the road currently is, for those of you who have driven it, it winds around something fierce. But this will straighten all that out. And we feel that we will be able to get that full road under construction this summer, and there is sufficient money to finish that road. So that gives you, of other capital projects, $35.5 million. And if you reduce that by 20%, you get about $28.4 million of actual construction. If you add up the totals for actual construction, you get $53.8 million, which will be under construction this summer. That is a big construction program. And in reviewing Public Works' staffing and everything else, there is, in my opinion, no way that the current group can handle that. That's going to be at least 11 separate construction contracts, and the average size of them will be somewhere around $5 million, some less, some more. But that is a big load. So what we plan to do is to go out with an RFP and then come back here to you all as soon as we get the selection made for a construction management firm to manage those contracts. That firm will not be delegated any monetary authority. The borough will issue the contracts. Same procedure we have for change orders and everything else. But these folks are going to be doing the actual work. We'll have a project manager for the whole thing. People assigned to the projects, to the 11 construction contracts, and do that. I would hope that we could get back to you all with a selection by the 7th of March, because we need to get this construction manager on board, because we're talking about needing quite a few people. Just putting inspectors out there is going to be, you know, 8 or 10 people. So anyway, that's the planning, and the next chart, I wanted to give you some idea of where we stand on design, because some of these projects, we're just hiring designers, and we're going to get a design in about 2 months, and we'll go with it. In the Houston, Willow Lake, and Caswell, we've got two designers selected. You all, we've got them up for your approval tonight. For Palmer, Felton, and I didn't mention Felton, which is a little road off of Bogard. Felton, we're going to put in phase two, contracted out for construction in phase two of Bogard. Felton's not designed right now, so we can't do it in the phase one, even though it's on the Palmer end. Mockatonce Road is a change order with Lonsberry, which you all have before you tonight. And the Wasilla Clap Mac is being designed by the city of Wasilla. The next page is a few other contracts. Sullivan and Caudill, we're evaluating proposals. We'll be back to you the 19th of February for approval. Big Lake and South Big Lake, we also will be back the 19th of March for approval. And I want to jump down to the Sutton Paved Pathway, which we'll also have on the street hopefully tomorrow. and be back to you all the 19th of March. Now, the three projects that are really difficult in this is Selden Lucille, Vine Road, and Selden Beverly. We don't have really design, and not having that design, we can't procure right away. And we're going to have to buy right away for all three of those projects. So we have to get this designer on board and get the project design and find out what those right-of-way requirements are and then go after the right-of-way. So there is no way that those projects can be constructed this summer. But we'll try our best to get them to where they're ready to go next summer. And I think that's sort of a rundown of all of the projects. Again, you got a construction program just on these projects, not counting the other projects that Public Works does, in excess of $50 million, and that's not a small program. So if there's any questions, I'd be very happy to take them.
Assemblymember Culver's got his hand up, and got to say it's always good to hear things are moving.
Well, first of all, I'd like to compliment management here. This is the first clarity with specific concrete steps and action plans and approvals that we've had on this project. And it's what we've been asking for over a year. So I'm very pleased that we're moving forward and we don't have the rose-colored glasses on and what we can do and can't do. And I appreciate that. So that we can keep on that track, Joe, what I'd like to see is prepare a pro forma advertising schedule on when these projects will first hit the street for advertising and then with a bid opening date. So we kind of have a schedule and a report card that we can track because things just kind of get lost. There's a lot of contracts. It's going to be a huge workload for our finance and purchasing department. But we're going to have to be just pushing, making sure that we're on track. So we're going to need that schedule and a checklist so that we can get them out for awards before May hits. And also then we can advise the industry. Here's what we've got coming out. You know, a lot of times in the plans room there'll be advanced plans, maybe only a 35% level like they did with Trunk Road. It was out for over a year ahead of time. They know it's coming. So they'll be ready. They won't be full up on jobs in Cuitlahuac when they say, hey, there's some Matt Sue work. We've got, you know, pits there. We want that work. So that's all I ask, that we nail ourselves down to a schedule and then commit to that. So appreciate it.
Representative Culver, we will provide you all a schedule. I haven't done it yet because we need to get some of these approvals out of the way. But we will give you a date of when we plan to advertise it and when we plan to award it on all of these contracts.
Assemblymember Keogh.
A couple of quick comments. First of all, I'm glad you're here, Joe, in the position that you have. So good. And I'd like to echo Mr. Cullivan's comments. This overview is much needed and much appreciated. Thanks for the...
Thank you, sir.
It's what we needed, I think. And I would ask that, without getting into specific projects, if you could please connect with me. Some of the things you mentioned about specific projects were a little bit different than I understood them for District 1 projects. Perhaps if you could give me a ring so I can be clear about what's happening and what's not happening on a couple projects.
Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry I didn't. I'm one of those that you read about in the paper yesterday that had bad ears.
This the gray tsunami. He's just asking to get back to him on that.
I'm half deaf too, but we'll be in touch soon. So
no problem.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager.
I think that's a good start. We can go on the rest of the agenda.
Okay. Assemblymember Colligan.
I had a question and then another action item. So, Mr. Manager, you mentioned earlier something about animal care, something in Fairbanks, et cetera. We got a packet of information to do with animal care tonight, and I spoke with, there's two different incidents over the holiday. One was a, I think, legitimate, or a group of folks that take in animals from the shelter and distribute those other agencies within the community. They were upset that animals were getting distributed outside the borough and they weren't getting priority, that director was making those calls. And do we have a policy of local priority, and how do we deal with it? I think she made a very good case, was questioning why we were sending animals when there was a need and they were doing good services within the borough. My question is, do we have a policy? And I understand that we've been round and round with animal care, but I think they brought up a legitimate point, and is there a local priority?
Mr. Manager, you can go over that again.
Yes. Mr. Hayes has been working on the details, and so I'd like him to address those issues specifically.
Yes, George Hayes, Assistant Borough Manager. Mr. Colligan, yes, we have a policy normally where we try to contact the local ones. There's not a specific priority, but in this case we had 68 cats, kittens in the facility, so we had really had an excess. So we contacted the folks up in North Star. They came down. They were actually driving down. So we gave them, at that point, 22 kittens. We still had an excess left, and when we were contacted by Ms. Weinrich here, we told her there were still over 40 cats and kittens left in the facility here. So it wasn't that there weren't some left here.
Okay, I guess I would prefer that we had some policy where we had some local priority. I think the issue she felt or communicated was they weren't contacted first or whatever, but... And I know there's probably all sorts of other things I don't want to get down to, but I would like to just make sure that they are assured that there's a local priority for people that are qualified to take those animals.
Yes, sir. And as the manager mentioned, we did sever all ties to the folks up there as soon as we found out that the allegations that were brought forward were true. And we also instituted a policy where even if we do give any animals to any outside agency, they would pay the same as any agency within the borough here.
Okay. I wasn't aware of the qualification or anything about the one Fairbanks. Just had more to do about local priorities.
Yes, sir.
With that, I have one more thing, Mr. Mayor, that's unrelated to this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I would like to move to schedule a special meeting to have an interim evaluation of the manager on Tuesday, February 19th at 4 p.m.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor.
I can speak to that if you want.
You can speak to it.
So we've gone through lots of things this last year and discussed with the manager, done his evaluation. Now there's a deputy manager, and before we head into budget, I'd like to do an interim evaluation, have some discussions with the manager before budget starts. And I think that is a good time for us to take up that action item.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you read the motion, please?
Mr. Mayor, the motion is to schedule a special meeting on February 19th at 4 p.m. to hold an interim evaluation of the manager.
Very good. Discussion? Objection? Okay, discussion. Assemblymember Keogh.
I guess a question through the mayor to the manager. Our next evaluation for you is not scheduled until when? And I don't think an interim evaluation was part of the program, is it?
We can call an evaluation anytime we want.
I understand that. I understand that. It was my understanding, though, that after year one, the evaluations for the manager will be on a year, one time per year basis. Am I mistaken or no?
Mr. Manager?
I don't think there has been any provision set out in contract when I have an evaluation. The last evaluation occurred in April of last year, so we're pretty close.
It's due in May anyway, so might just be a little early. Well, I've heard objection. You want to speak
more to it, Assemblymember Colligan?
I just think there's some things that need to be discussed, especially before budget year. If we wait till May, budget's long gone. I think it would be timely and to address some issues with the manager and would work out better rather than wait until May, June, July, August, September.
Thank you. I've heard objections, so Madam Clerk, would you call, do a roll call?
I sure will. Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. So that's a yes. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keough and Salmon opposed.
Okay. Any other surprises? Thank you, Mr. Manager. You got more than you asked for.
Thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Mr. Attorney, it's your turn.
I have no further comments.
That's almost a first. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folder, and just a reminder for the joint meeting with the cities, if you can have all your agenda items to me by the 18th so we can get it, the agenda published timely. That is it.
Thank you. Did you have a second thought? No? Okay. Okay. We have 200 pages of community council and citizen correspondence. Any comments, questions? Lots of reading material. We have IMs, which are not action items. Any questions? You want to read them into the record, ma'am?
I sure will. IM number 13021, monthly reporting of amended contracts and new awards under $100,000, along with sole source procurements for the period of November 1st, 2012 through November 30th, 2012, and IM number 13033, monthly reporting of amended contracts and new awards under $100,000 along with sole source procurements for the period of December 1st, 2012 through December 31st, 2012.
Thank you. Any comments? Seeing and hearing none, those are on the record, and at this point, I think we will take a 10-minute break before we start digging into business. Okay. Call us back to order. Just got a call. We got some pretty bad roads in the borough. So we have before us unfinished business, which is already on the table. Madam Clerk, would you brief us?
Okay, read it in the record real quick, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
The ordinance serial number 12-056, an ordinance amending MSB 15.24.030, comprehensive plan and purposes by adopting the 2011 Willow Area Community Historic Preservation Plan into the overall borough-wide comprehensive plan. And when the assembly postponed this, I do believe it was either June or July of last summer, there was a primary amendment pending. And those are on pages 327 through 337 of the packet. And it's part of the actual plan itself. It was to delete Section 4 in its entirety that reads Vision Statement, Goals, Objectives, and Recommendations. So that is what is in front of the assembly right now, is that primary amendment.
Okay, there's a motion to delete. Does anybody want to speak to that? Assemblymember Keough.
Just to reiterate the memorandum from the attorney that addresses it, that says essentially the adoption and incorporation of the plan will likely have little effect on the initiation of private economic or public development projects within the Willow area, although the plan does provide goals and recommendations for implementation that directly addresses the community's desire to protect some specific sites and structures. It creates no outright prohibition on development in the area when read individually or in conjunction with the borough comprehensive plan, which kind of leads me to believe, one, the striking the 10-page chapter out of the plan is not necessary, and two, not speaking to the amendment, but the plan, I don't have any objection to it.
Please speak to the amendment. You're speaking against deleting the. You're speaking against the amendment, then.
I'm speaking against deleting that chapter and against the amendment, yes.
Right. Thank you. Anybody else? We ready to vote? Madam Clerk, I've heard objections, so would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Culligan.
Can we clarify that?
Yeah, let's be clear. The amendment is to delete a big chunk of this program, so a yes vote deletes it, a no vote doesn't.
Thank you. Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the amendment passes with Assemblymember Halter, Keough and Culver against.
Okay, we have before us the main motion amended. Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Woods?
Yes. On page 128 of, or 357 of the packet, there's a section in here in subdivision title 27, the third paragraph here. I was wondering if this section, preliminary plat submittal, and the section on cultural resources division, item 3A and B, on this page carried through to planning title 43.
Good question. That's why we have Mr. Spiropoulos here. Issue is that we have a new piece of legislation that's referencing a title that doesn't exist anymore. If it had been an old piece of legislation enacted under something like that, it would be a different issue.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not finding it.
What's the page number?
Page 357.
Right, so it's the preliminary plat submittal, which...
Okay, if there's no objection, we'll take this up towards the end of the meeting. Is there objection to that? In it somewhere, let's do it right before my veto. Oh, it's right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I meant something far later than that. Let's do it just after audience participation. So, that brings us to special orders. And Madam Clerk, when you're ready, if you would begin with ordinance 12-162.
An ordinance creating Greens Ward Drive Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 502, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
Okay, we will open this for public testimony. It did not get enough votes, though, so we would have to violate our code in order to pass it. There's nobody signed up. I see nobody coming forward, so we'll close it and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-162, please.
Okay. Any discussion? There should be objections, so Madam Clerk, would you vote? I mean, call the roll. Mr. Attorney?
If I could briefly, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, what state law says is that if there's an objection by more than 50% of the owners, you can't approve it unless upon 3/4 vote of the Assembly. So you don't violate your code, but you need a supermajority to move forward.
Is that state law or borough code?
That's state law.
Oh, really? In order to... But it's not state law that sets this, our LID processes.
Yes. Some of those special assessments.
Really? Okay. I thought we engineered that all ourselves. Okay. Well, thank you. A little more educated. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Colligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed unanimously.
I guess that meets the state code. Ordinance 12-171.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $275,000 from Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19 Fund Balance, Fund 275 to Fund 410, Project Number 30041 for Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19 Capital Projects.
I'm going to open a public hearing. Has anybody signed up? Please come forward. The clerk will get that. Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is Lynn Fuller, and unfortunately I didn't have time to look at this enough ahead of time to really even formulate a question, and I'm not sure that I'm allowed to ask a question. So I just would like to put out there that I'm not sure when you take funds and put it into capital projects if that is normally done when the capital projects are not identified. And so in speaking to this, I don't know if I would want to be speaking for or against a particular capital project because those capital projects aren't listed. So if it's a procedural thing and this is standard fare and you just move money for future reference, I guess I don't have a question. If there is a specific capital project this is intended for, I guess I would like to know that so I could speak to it.
Well, that's a good point. We will ask for information, and I was going to gripe about the same thing. There should be some specificity to this.
And if there is an opportunity then for the public to speak after it's specified, that would be appreciated.
Mr. Manager, do you want to give us a report, please?
Yes, report has come forward.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Sean O'Neill, Public Works Director, and I didn't catch your name, but Lynn. This particular legislation, as you've seen a dozen or so other ones over the course of the last several months, is moving money out of the RSA fund balance, which is where money gets put. The RSA areas are taxed. I hate that picture, Lonnie, just so you know. The RSAs approve the mill rates, and the taxes are paid. Now I got to talk without my hands because it looks silly. And the money goes into a fund balance. Money is taken out of the fund balance to go into the capital budget, which is what we're doing here. And depending on how much money is available, then projects are funded. A list is approved. And as the list, as you go down the list and there's money available, the projects are done. The money also comes out of the fund balance to fund the operating budgets. For example, on years where we have a lot of snow and we end up having to do extra work, we have to pull money out of the fund balance to fund operations. This legislation is procedural, moving money into the capital so that work that's on the capital list can be funded. So,
well, her question and mine is, what's on the list?
I don't have the Lazy Mountain list with me today, but you folks approve the capital, the RSA capital list, in December, I believe. I think that's when the RSA capital lists came through.
Well, there was nothing for Lazy Mountain on that list, the one that Ms. Jansen gave us?
No, this is a separate list. This is the, Ms. Jansen puts the big multi-year, five-year plan list. This is simply the road service area capital projects list, and the only projects on those lists are projects for road service areas, and each of the RSA boards puts together the priorities, makes this list.
We're aware of the process. What we want is some specificity. Mr. Manager?
Sean, could you get that information to Ms. Fuller? And I think that's a mm-hmm. good point on making sure that when we have these questions that we have that budgeted list of projects. So when somebody comes like Ms. Fuller, we can say these are the projects that are scheduled, and this decision will be made eventually by the RSA board, correct?
Correct. It was at the request of the RSA board that these funds are being transferred.
Okay. So if we could get the list to Ms. Fuller when the RSA is scheduled, and then let's have that available for us for each meeting, so if someone comes forward with a question, okay, we have that answer.
Okay.
Thank you. That's not going to help you tonight, but we're going to cut the money loose anyway, I guess. Here, take a business card.
I know how to contact him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please do it. We'll make sure we get you the answer.
Is it possible to hold off on a vote until the public has that information?
Well, anything's possible. These seven guys are in charge.
Thank you.
So, anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Keel.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-171, and I'd like to speak to that, please.
Please do.
First of all, this is one in a series of money transfers from the fund balance of different road service areas to the capital budget. So this is not an uncommon occurrence. on page 482 of the packet, and again, as the assembly member for this district, I don't know what capital project improvements are in mind. I would like to know, but frankly, when I read the packet, I didn't pursue it any further because we have a resolution here from both of the road service area supervisors, Mr. Pat Larrabee and Mr. Matt Dorkson, who passed a resolution to make this happen. And this is the standard, it looks like the standard language to me on any transfer of funds from the fund balance to capital improvements project. So, but I'm willing to postpone it. So, and I would move to postpone this transfer until date certain, which would be our next regular assembly meeting.
February 5th.
Okay, I so move.
Motion to postpone until February 5th. Is there objection to that?
Yes.
Okay, there is objection. So, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Keough in support.
Okay, we have before us the main motion. Are we ready to vote? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. And I will comment that We'd have to suspend the rules again.
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
You would.
So, you know, to me, the lesson here is this is a road service area that does not report to the community council, and we got a set of motions going on that leaves the community out and needs to be fixed. So we have Ordinance 12-172.
An ordinance adopting MSB 4.75007, term of members for the Matanuska-Sitna Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public testimony and bring it back to Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance Serial Number 12-172. The reason this is before the Assembly is that there's several long-term experts in the field of fish biology and wildlife issues that are termed out with the two-term policy that applies to all boards. And I think many of you were present at the presentation to the legislature and got a lesson on fish biology. I know I did. Larry Engel's one of these folks that we want to keep on the commission, and they're termed out. So this will enable them to reapply and be seated for another term on the Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Okay. Discussion? Assemblymember Keogh?
Well, I'm the first to acknowledge the expertise of the members of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, but I would offer a friendly amendment. Instead of making it unlimited terms, I would move to amend to say a member may serve three terms. It would be a limit of three terms rather than unlimited terms.
Okay, there's an amendment on the floor. Assemblymember Culver.
I would speak in opposition. I would rather have Larry Engel on that commission till the day he dies. He is the best asset we have for enhancing our fisheries in the Matsu Borough. Anyone, he's at the professor level. He has been on the Board of Fisheries. He's worked in the department from its infancy in the 60s. We're so lucky to have that kind of expertise. And it's up to the mayor to make those decisions whether or not certain folks should be seated, and then you'll have the opportunity to vote it up or down on confirmation. But there are several people, and Bruce Knowles is another one. I mean, the man is a walking medicine cabinet. He's fighting every disease and cancer you can imagine, but he never quits fighting for fisheries in the upper Susitna Valley in Matsu. And these people are committed to this. And so I don't want them to feel like we don't value their service because we're going to put a lid on it. And I just leave it up to the mayor to vet the appointments. So at this point, I don't think we need to cap 3 years. They've served two terms. We need them for that continuity, and they're willing to serve. I think it's just so valuable to our borough to have these kinds of experts willing to volunteer their time away from their families. Thank you.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, in response to those comments, this amendment has absolutely nothing to do with the extraordinary value of Larry Engel or any other member of the board as an asset. I think most of us that know anything about the commission recognize Mr. Engel's expertise as well as the others. So, but by extending the terms from 2 3-year terms to 3 3-year terms, I don't think that sends a bad message at all. It allows us these folks, if the mayor elects to appoint them for another term on the commission, to have their service for additional 3 years. And if they want to continue and it's desire of the assembly 3 years from now to further extend their terms, we can do it at that time. So I'll be voting for the amendment.
Okay, you know, this is pretty simple. I don't think it requires a lot of debate. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Keough and Halter in support.
Okay, we have before us the main motion, unamended. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it passes. 12-173, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance adopting MSB 4.50.055 term of members for the Local Emergency Planning Committee.
Does anybody wish to speak to this? Please come forward and state your name.
Hold on, Terry, just a second. I think he's got you going now.
Okay. Terry Snyder. As someone who was a member of a board that I think was a great asset to this borough, that was one of the grand ideas to go on a board diet and get rid of was the Real Property Asset Management Board. And the combined experience of that board was phenomenal. But members of this body who are still sitting here voted to get rid of that board because expertise wasn't needed.
Would you speak to this this ordinance, please?
I think that it sends a wrong message to the public that you're going to nilly-willy extend certain board terms without looking at the whole picture. And I think to make it a personal thing is unfortunate because I don't think anybody undervalues who serves the public, or the public that serves the rest of the public. But to willy-nilly be picking out certain boards to extend term limits for is just true bad governing. And I think you're sending the wrong message, and I think you'll regret it at some point. There's lots of talented people here. You just need to do a better job of getting them to the table so you can hear a few more voices than the ones that are swirling around.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public testimony and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 12-173.
Okay, is there a discussion? I might mention, since I brought this forward, at the request of this board, if you look at the composition of this board, it's a very narrow band of highly specialized people, some from cities, some from other boards, but some of these couldn't be filled with anybody else. But that's all I'll say. I don't see any discussion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 13001, does this mean this is the first one with this year's fingerprint on it?
It is, and it's got three AMs. It might take me a while to read the book.
Okay.
An ordinance appropriating $12,900,000 to fund 430 transportation system capital projects for the construction, additions, improvements, betterment, repair, reconstruction, or acquisition of public roads and facilities related thereto in the managed consistent borough together with all necessary equipment and transportation facilities and the acquisition of lands or rights in lands in connection therewith which would address urgent safety issues and transportation needs and the appropriation of $212,380 for related issuance costs with the company resolution serial number 13002, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the 2012 Series D transportation system bond proceeds and the fiscal year 2013 designated legislative matching grant from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Fund 430. AM number 13018, authorize the award of proposal 13056P to Lounsbury & Associates Incorporated in the amount of $205,615 for Caswell Lakes Road and Willow Lake Drive upgrades. AM number 13021, approval of change order to Dow HKM in the amount of $460,316 to extend their scope of services to include the Felton Street Extension Road Bond Project as part of the Bogard Road Extension East Design Services Project Number 06134 and AM Number 13022, Award of Proposal 13057P to Dowell HKM in an amount of $289,796 for design and construction management services for Hawk Lane upgrades.
Okay, I guess this is the result of our new project manager at work. Is there anybody that wants to speak to any or all of this ordinance? Is there a list coming?
No?
Okay. I will close public hearing then and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve ordinance serial number 13-001 with accompanying resolution serial number 13-002.
And the AMs.
And the AMs.
And the AMs, although I presume that was a given. Yes.
Right. Okay. Discussion. Objection. Hearing none. We finished the ordinances, and we now come to audience participation. And that's why the list was coming forward. So, there should be a few of these folks that have had some of their questions answered. Ms. Rhonda Weinrich, followed by Trish Ryder. The reason I read both your names is so that the second person can move up and we might save a little bit of time.
Hi, my name is Rhonda Weinrich. I'm from 3400 East Naomi Avenue, Wasilla. I own an animal rescue. I am on the Mat-Su Borough Animal Care and Regulation Board, which is... it seems to be a waste of time. Anyway, I've had an awesome day. I went to write this huge speech and my computer crashed. So you did answer some of my questions. However, there was the comment that it was a big surprise. And it wasn't a surprise because everybody got the email in the past week or so. The bottom line should say it all. For the people who didn't get the handout tonight, our local shelter adopted out these animals to a rescue in Fairbanks that wasn't vetted at all. And if these animals had been adopted at our shelter, we would have realized proceeds of $4,394.50. If you choose to work with rescues, we'll actually save the borough money, although this has never been the case. If we had rescued these animals, we would have been charged between $15 and $67, not for free. You would have gotten $645 to $2,881. There's just, I asked about it, and I was told that Carol did it by her discretion. And if that's her discretion in the first, I guess, week of her real job at the borough, that's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money. $4,394.50 is 1.5 times what I pay in my house taxes. It shouldn't be acceptable. You know, the same month, I volunteer at the spay-neuter clinic for the low-cost spay-neuter clinic that comes to the borough once a month. I've been doing it for over 3 years. I had to leave the November spay-neuter clinic in order to adopt a dog from the shelter that was up for adoption that day. I was told that it was first come, first serve, so I had to show up at 11 o'clock. The dog wasn't neutered. I wasn't allowed to take that dog out of the shelter. You guys all know who I am. I've talked in front of you before. You know that I'm on the Animal Care and Regulation Board, which is an advisory-only board. You guys have awesome jobs. I don't. You know how to find me. I wasn't allowed to leave with that dog that was not neutered, even though I offered to have him neutered at the spay-neuter clinic, return him at the end of the day and show his incision, and parts in Ziploc bags if necessary. I was told it wasn't the policy of the borough to let out unaltered animals from the shelter. To have it done to a stranger, it's just unconscionable, it's unacceptable, and I wish we could find a way to get back that $4,394.50. I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is Trish Ryder here? Thank you. Next will be William Ryder.
Mr. Mayor, assembly members, I'm with the Alaska Cat Adoption Team. I have, my husband and I both are foster homes for cats and kittens. We've been doing this now for almost 3 years. And we were absolutely appalled to hear that cats were being sent up to Fairbanks. None of our group was ever notified. We have heard mention that there was notification that there were 48 cats left at the shelter. I was not aware of it, none of our organization or anyone that I have spoken with. The communication with the animal shelter is broken. It's been broken for a long time. And we need to be able to clarify what goes on there, who has the authority, and rather than it being a dictatorship, have it be more of a community thing, because we are all here for the animals. We don't want them to be hurt. We don't want them to be sent off in places that we don't know what's going to happen to them. We foster out of our home. We have a good facility. You can check us out at any time. But let's get this communication opened. Let's stop the dictatorship. Let's get some decent rules and regulations and stop being stonewalled, not only at the front desk, but by the people that are supposed to be helping us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. William Ryder, followed by Murph O'Brien.
William Ryder.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your consideration. Mr. O'Brien, followed by Victoria Nagley.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. First thing I want to talk about is Joe Perkins. He's a wonderful person. I enjoyed working for him for 8 years, and the best story I like to share with him is as I was retiring from the borough, I was asked to find somebody to help out with the railroad. I sent Joe a simple email saying, "Hey, Joe, do you want to build a railroad?" And he responded almost immediately and said, "Hell yes, I do, Murph, when we get started." And you're well on the way to get a railroad built, and I think it's a good choice to have him help you out with your roads. The second thing I want to talk about is the tall tower ordinance. Revisit it again. There's a motion to amend something previously adopted on the agenda tonight. It is my understanding that this is a seldom used procedure to make small changes or a corrective amendment to previously passed legislation. Excuse me. At the last meeting on December 4, 2012, several members of the public supported the adoption of Ordinance Serial Number 12-157, adopting MSB 1766 tall towers. It passed 4-3. Now there is a request to sort of ignore this public process, amend this language, and replace it with what I understand was the language that was in place back in November of 2011, so we come full circle. No public hearing, no public process. This proposed action is neither a small change or a corrective amendment. I urge you not to support this action. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria, followed by Janie Duhamel.
To work up here, is there? My name is Victoria Nagley. I live in Palmer, out towards Hatcher Pass. I've been 11 years in the borough, about 18 in Alaska. I own two large dogs, two cats, all duly licensed, and have five foster kittens I've had since they were 12 ounces. I hold a cattery license through the borough. Been involved with rescues for about 7 years. I helped start Alaska Cat Adoption Team, or ACAT, a Katzenall volunteer 501c3 nonprofit organization, and every dime we make goes back into helping cats. In 2011, we placed 236 cats. 2012, 382. Our emphasis is on well-homing displaced kittens and their mothers and other cats, spay-neuter, and education about responsible pet ownership. We receive most of our felines from the public in the Mat-Su, and we home most of them to Anchorage or at Mat-Su families. We do rescue some from the shelter, usually kittens under 6 months. We have two senior cats and young one adult foster and adult care right now from the shelter. And we've homed several shelter kittens in the past 3 months, most removed from the shelter at the shelter's request because of upper respiratory viruses. Some needed nursing and hundreds of dollars in care. We pay $67 for these potentially ill kittens and $15 for old cats. We don't do this because there's no free kittens around and no free cats. Mat-Su is a breeding ground for cats. We do this to save them from euthanasia at the request of the shelter. Our volunteers, like Trish and Bill, devote hundreds and even thousands of hours and dollars each year to help these cats. I think that you can understand the concept of being so committed to something that you're willing to devote your time, your energy, and your money to it. We've proven our commitment. And that was why it was so upsetting to realize that the shelter had sent to Fairbanks, free of charge, kittens and cats that were never offered to local shelters. And they were not offered, make no mistake of that. Not for free, not even for our usual fees. These animals were sent 300 miles north with caretakers of ill repute to an uncertain fate, and of course we know the borough lost revenue in it. We thank you for terminating that relationship, but why did it happen? Surely those in the position of authority at the shelter should adopt philosophies that make paramount the welfare of animals within their fiscal constraints. If these incidents were merely errors in judgment, Director Vardaman has already been rewarded with promotion. As wrong as that is, I fear it is instead more evidence of a borough department that lacks integrity, compassion, and your scrutiny. I have a letter from our board of directors I'd like to submit to the clerk and that outlines some suggestions that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie, followed by Molly Boyer.
Good evening, Assembly Members, Mr. Mayor. My name is Jamie Duhamel, and tonight I speak to you as the Program Director for Castle Mountain Coalition, an organization with a long and successful history of protecting the ecological integrity and economic viability of the Matanuska watershed. We are a partner organization of the Mat Valley Coalition, the large collective currently standing against coal mine developments in the valley. Tonight I would like to address both the Assembly resolution in support of the Canyon Creek coal mine proposal, as well as the Energy Policy Commission being proposed by Member Colligan. First, regarding the Canyon Creek resolution, while we realize your collective statement is largely symbolic and of little real value, which is why we have chosen not to raise our own collective stink tonight, we continue to be disappointed in your blatant refusal to represent all members of our borough. The fact that your statement is unnecessary simply makes it worse. You are purposefully choosing to be indifferent to the more than 5,000 people who have now either signed petitions or taken direct action in opposition to coal mine developments here in the Mat-Su. And this includes a statistically relevant amount of people in Squintna where this project would take place. Frankly, we are stunned you haven't even bothered to ask the members of that community how they feel about this project. We will continue to inform your constituents of your decisions that ignore their concerns for a healthy, vibrant, coal-free community. Second, in regards to a proposed Energy Policy Commission, we are well aware that this commission may be a path to deregulation in favor of a coal-fired power plant or other energy projects that are technologically outdated and economically backwards. We ask that you choose your committee members wisely, keeping in mind the balance of ideas, opinions, and expertise any healthy commission requires. If it is real recommendations you are seeking, you should be more than willing to include members of the community who do not automatically think all projects are created equal and who have long-term visions for our shared community. In addition, we suggest that Mayor DeVilbiss, as well as Member Arvin, both have a financial stake in the outcome of the commission's recommendations. Mayor DeVilbiss serves on the board of MEA, and Arvin is a board director of the Alaska Energy Authority. Because of these obvious conflicts of interest, we respectfully request both Mayor DeVilbiss and Member Arvin recuse themselves from any and all discussion of the formation of this commission, the selection of commission membership, and all discussions related to the work and recommendations of the commission if formed. We thank you in advance for your commitment to a transparent and ethical democracy. Finally, we would like you to know that the support for a coal-free community grows at an ever-increasing rate. Last year, I reported to you that the Map Valley Coalition had reached 3,000 supporters. In one single year in 2012, we have added 2,000 more. I assure you, our strength in numbers will continue to grow because we have big, fun plans for 2013. Thank you very much for your consideration tonight.
Thank you. Molly, followed by Lynn Fuller.
Hi, I'm Molly Boyer, the Executive Director of the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. Happy 2013. Honorable Mayor DeVilbiss and Assembly, thank you for letting me speak with you today about the resolution 13005 that will be before you momentarily. The approval of this resolution will allow for the acquisition of the baler designed to go at the end of the already installed in-floor conveyor. It is a two-stroke horizontal auto tie baler. With the new baler alone, we will be able to process up to six times the amount of material we are currently handling. This is 19 tons of material per hour, compared to the 3 tons of material per hour our current baler can handle. And because this equipment improves efficiency, we will be able to handle 5 times what we are processing now with the same number of staff. The resolution will also allow for the weatherization of our drive-through residential drop-off area to improve safety for both our staff and users and accommodate more traffic. The total weight of materials diverted from the landfill by VCRS for 2012 was 1,818 tons, comprised of 1,448 tons processed by the facility, 9 tons reused through the facility, and 360 tons diverted directly to local users. This is equal to 78 trailers, vans full of material, an average of around 35 bales per van, equaling 2,730 bales, equaling 19,110 cubic yards of highly compressed material, enough to fill a structure approximately half the size of the new recycling facility. VCRS is doing the groundwork, meeting with the Mat-Su School District to provide recycling district-wide, with the City of Palmer to add curbside recycling to their garbage pickup service, our outlying communities who are asking for recycling to be offered at the transfer stations, and our large businesses and manufacturers to incorporate using this material or our program to reduce their footprint. The resolution before you will enable these entities to use our program because we will have the equipment and capacity to do so. These enhancements will increase our capacity to divert more material from the landfill where the costs continue to rise with the building of new line cells, transport and disposal of the leachate generated there, and the monitoring of the methane and leachate escaping into the air and the groundwater from the landfill. The increased capacity of the recycling manufacturing.
Yeah, wrap it up.
And I'm over. Thank you for your support. Together we're turning it around, and we thank you. Anybody here would like to stand up and support the recycling resolution? Hop with it. We love you. I didn't get time to call a lot of people.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver.
Thank you. One quick question, if you'd allow me, Ms. Boyer. Today there was an interesting letter to the editor going over that there's recycled bins in the post offices, the blue bins for people's trash, that they said that they're going to the landfill instead. Do you have any way that we can connect with the post office to make it go into the recycling center?
Absolutely, but it's getting together with them, with the U.S. Post Office. Right now, they bring the mail out from Anchorage, and historically, the recycling went back to their warehouses in Anchorage. So it's a matter of us taking time to sit down with them. We have approached them before and worked out different deals, but since we've been in the new building, they came up with new criteria, and it started going to the landfill, and that's in our queue to work with them. And not just at the, you know, at both the Wasilla and the main U.S. the post offices, as well as the contracted ones.
Thank you. You've got your goal for 2013. Ms. Fuller.
Hello again. I have three things I'd like to speak to this time. One is very brief, and it's just to express appreciation if you do support and continue to support the Recycling Center and all their efforts for 2013. I think it makes very good economic sense. It makes ecological sense. I want to be able to go, and I have a personal goal. I want to be able to go and use the Recycling Center in a safe and efficient way. I have a personal goal of continuing to try to make my trips to the Recycling Center more often than my trips to the dump, and that's something that I would really encourage my friends and neighbors to do as well. And I just think it's a great thing. They put in an incredible amount of work, and I hope that you can support all of their efforts. The second topic tonight I'd like to speak to is the resolution on coal on Canyon Creek, and I guess I'd like to reiterate Ms. Duhamel's comments there, and I had similar thoughts that if you're going to have a resolution by the Borough Assembly to have a general endorsement of coal, then I think that the resolution should read a resolution of the individual members of the Matsu Borough Assembly to support the proposed Canyon Creek coal lease. You may individually support this, but I don't know if you're speaking as an assembly that's representing the public to support Canyon Creek, when I do believe, and I agree with Ms. Duhamel, that many members of the borough are not in support of coal development, and this resolution is not specific, and it's not even necessary. It's opinion. When you say, whereas if any mine develops, it'll be likely into the future, that's speculative, and if it's way in the future, why are you putting out a resolution in support of it now? That it's likely to be a large taxpayer is speculative. That it has the potential, provides hundreds of jobs is speculative. And that Alaska's strict coal regulations will prevent degradation of air and water quality, fish and wildlife habitat is opinion. And I think there are many people who would disagree with that. So as a member of the public, this does not even remotely express my concerns. And if I see a resolution, I'd like it to be something that speaks to something specifically that we can weigh in on, that we can have a working group on, that we can have regulations that we can weigh in on. Rather than a blanket, we're open for business. That's fine to say informally. I don't think it's appropriate to say in a resolution about the public. Lastly, with very little time left, I'd like to reiterate what Mr. O'Brien said and what I said at the last meeting and what has been said before. The Towers Ordinance had hours and hours and hours of work put into it. And it's gone back and forth. I think it's doing a disservice to the public, and it makes the Assembly and the Borough look bad to be flip-flopping back when the public wants reasonable regulations on towers. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else before we close the testimony? Seeing and hearing none, close. We are back to unfinished business. Yes, the clerk reminds me of our adjusted agenda here. So we are now back to a primary motion.
Main motion, just answering.
The main motion, yeah. We took care of the primary amendment. And Mr. Spropoulos, do you have an opinion for us?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I do. let me pull up the code section here. The code section that Assemblymember Woods referenced is currently in 4315.045 called plat approval. And if you look at the page number, and I forgot to write down Assemblymember Woods' page number that he has here, it requires certain things on plat approval. Title the previous platting title required cultural resources review on a preliminary plat submittal. The current Title 43 does not. There's a whole code section requiring location of property lines, contour intervals, preliminary horizontal locations of streets and water supply, which is exactly the same as the previous code. However, there's a whole gap because then it picks back up with submit written information regarding soils and engineering data. And in between that, under the old code, was the part about cultural resources review, and it's not here in the new code. And then to find out if it had been simply moved somewhere else, I ran a search for cultural resources and historical, and other than definitions, it's not found in the subdivision title currently.
So the question is it appropriate to have this reference to Title 27 in this piece of legislation?
I think when it was written, it most certainly was. At this point, it would have no bearing on anything.
So would you recommend that we wait until that language is correct? Obviously, we're not going to be instituting anything out of Title 27 here.
No, I think all that is a reference to applicable statutes and laws that might apply to the Willow Historic Preservation Plan. Obviously, if the state of Alaska were to change some law tomorrow, or even if you had to pass this in advance of Title 43 being enacted and then changed it, it would be invalid just the same. So it's irrelevant. If you want to, you can strike that page out of the IM.
Okay, so it's immaterial. Does that satisfy you, Assembly Member Woods?
Yes, thank you.
That was a good question. I never thought about it. Are we ready for the Assembly Member Keogh?
I'm not going to oppose passage of this plan, but I'd like to point out with the amendment that we passed earlier this evening, we're presumably going to move forward a plan that now lacks a vision statement, it lacks goals, it lacks objectives and recommendations by striking the entirety of Chapter 4, which leaves a gaping hole in this whole plan. But nonetheless, I'm not going to oppose it given the vote of the Assembly.
Obviously, it is currently set up to simply be a record of history. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Mayor, that I did oppose deleting those sections. I really didn't think that that added any burdens to the borough or to the state or anything of that nature. But nevertheless, that's how it is. And we still have a really well-written historical perspective of Willow. The Willow Chamber of Commerce supported the plan even before deletion. Waco supported the plan even before deletion. I'm real satisfied. Just hope we could pass it the way it is now, please.
Thank you. With that, are there any objections? Hearing none, it is passed. And now we go back to the consent agenda. And we have pulled items F and G, as I understood it, under resolutions. Is there anything else?
Yep.
Assemblymember Woods?
Consider item C.
C?
Item C.
Okay. Resolution?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull number D for discussion.
Okay. So are we going to have anything left?
Oh, yeah.
Well, item B, Mr. Mayor.
Item B? Okay. All we got left is item A.
Well, we got A and
A and E. Okay, Madam Clerk, would you read everything else into the record?
Yes, I will, Mr. Mayor. Resolution Serial Number 13003, a resolution ratifying the proposed labor agreement with the Matanuska Sitna Borough Employees Association. Resolution Serial Number 13007, a resolution supporting the layout and planning of a town site in the community of Point McKenzie and town site in the Fish Creek Management Area. AM Number 13001, approval of change order to Lounsbury and Associates Incorporated in the amount of $1,263,128 for the Trunk Road Extension South Design Services Project Number 35007. AM Number 13002, approval of utility relocation cost to MTA in the amount of $125,613.38 for Tamar Road Project. AM Number 13004, approval of regular full-time emergency services deputy director, fire services position, and the placement of this position outside the collective bargaining unit. AM number 13005, approval of a change order to WM Contracting in the amount of $2,640 to allow additional work due to unforeseen damage to a cross culvert that needs to be replaced for Chicklin Road Project. AM number 13006, award a bid number 13055B to Lion Apparel in a total yearly purchase amount that may exceed $100,000 to purchase turnout gear and urban search and rescue garments. AM number 13007, authorizing the borough manager to enter into a lease agreement for 1 year contract period in an amount of $38,400 for Willow Emergency Medical Services and Rescue Space located at 24927 West Willow Creek Parkway, Willow, Alaska. AM number 13009, award a bid number 13058B to Valley General Construction LLC in the contract amount of $124,002 for Merrill Circle improvements. AM number 1310, award of proposal 13023P to Architects Alaska in the amount of $383,497 for design and construction administration of Talkeetna Library Community Resource Center. AM number 1311, approving the elimination of a public works civil engineer in the project management and engineering division and replacing it with the position of public works deputy director outside the collective bargaining unit. AM number 1315, approval of a contract amendment with Shamrock Septic in the amount of $40,000 for leachate hauling and disposal due to exceptionally high precipitation levels. AM number 1319, award of proposal number 13049P to Hattenberg, Dilley, and Lionel in an amount not to exceed $282,412 for Kinnick River Road improvement design. AM number 13020, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications.
Okay. We have before us, Assemblymember Solomon, would you move these, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Thank you. Let's just take 1 minute here so we can accommodate Assemblymember Wood's question. So Assemblymember Woods would like to divide the question, Madam Clerk. And that's AMH or...
That's resolution
1310. Yeah, that's AMH, 1310. It's item H. Is there objection to dividing the question? H, AM.
AM 1310?
You're
right. Talking about the Talkeetna Library?
Yes. Well, we'll find out, but we can't find out till he missed it earlier, so... I don't think there's any problem. I hope.
So is
there objection to dividing the question? Hearing none. We have before us everything but H that was read into the record. Is there objection to the everything but H? Hearing none. We bring it back and... It has been moved, so Assemblymember Woods, would you speak to H?
Yes, thank you.
It has been moved.
I had a note on this amendment, and I wondered if we pass
this... Use your mic.
Oh, sorry.
I wondered and was going to ask the manager if we pass this amount to the... for hiring architects, if that demanded that they design a building for the $2+ million project that they only have $1,200,000 for, something like that. And his answer was yes, it would mandate that these architects would design a building for the multi-million dollar size rather than conform to the money that they actually had. So I would ask that we not approve this particular item, H. Okay. 13010.
Speaking against the motion, Assemblymember Halter, do you want to speak to that?
Well, the Talkeetna Library project has moved to the point where the state has put in a millions of dollars of funding. This particular architect, this money is needed at this point in time. We will probably see money in the CIP in our next budget, the borough share. I think the state is looking for us to put money into this project like we should do in all projects where the libraries are being built. This is going to be a joint library and community center in Talkeetna. It enjoys, I would say, 100% support up in my district, District 7. And this needs to go forward as written, Mr. Woods.
Okay, speaking for it. No further discussion. There has been objection. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I need clarification on specifically what...
The motion is whether to approve item AMH and whether to approve the AM just by itself or not.
Yeah, okay. I am a yes.
Thank you.
And what was your vote, Assemblymember Arvin? I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
It was yes.
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 Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Woods opposed.
Thank you. So now we're to Resolution 13-004, Madam Clerk.
A resolution approving the financial responsibility for the MV Susitna for December 2012 and January and February 2013.
Assemblymember Solomon, would you move that, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 13-004.
Assemblymember Arvin, do you want to speak to that? You pulled it.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I pulled it because I'm going to vote no for it. I've said some time ago I'm finished spending money on the MV Susitna. The manager needs to find a resolution for that, and if it includes cutting it up and melting it down for iron ingots, I don't care, but I'm done spending money on it. I'll be voting no.
Okay. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, there's objection, so would you take the vote, please?
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Arvin, Culver, and Culligan opposed.
Just getting a little bit like the fiscal cliff. So, Resolution 13005, Madam Clerk.
A resolution to appropriate $450,000 in the fiscal year 2014 budget to match the United States Department of Commerce Economic Development Administration award number 07010-6318, remaining available funds to improve safety and significantly increase the capacity of the borough-owned resource and recovery center.
Assemblymember Solomon, would you move that?
Yes, I move resolution serial number 13-005.
Who wanted to speak to that?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Assemblymember Woods.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes. I was wondering where we're going to get the money, since it will come out of taxpayers' funds, to match that money that's from the Department of Commerce money, and perhaps the manager could reply.
Do you want to speak to that, Mr. Manager?
Yes. If this is approved, our recommendation for the assembly would be as when you consider the 2014 budget that that you raise the corresponding taxes to cover this cost.
Assemblymember Solomon, do you want to speak to this?
Yeah, you know, this is a matter of face, if you will, with the borough and the EDA. These are relationships which have existed long before tonight. This merely puts in place the mechanism to ensure our following through on a commitment that was made in the past, and the assurance that EDA will continue to smile upon our borough favorably as juxtaposed to the way they're looking at this situation right now.
Okay, Assemblymember Culver.
Mr. Mayor, I have a primary amendment. On page 585, the third sentence of the therefore be it resolved clause, it reads now therefore be it resolved, the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Assembly directs the manager to put $450,000 in the fiscal year 2014 budget, and this is where my amendment starts, from the landfill enterprise fund to match the United States Department of Commerce, EDA, yada, yada. So my intent is that the budgetary item would come out of the enterprise fund for the landfill, which is, this is part of the landfill, is to reduce the landfill quantities, and so it's appropriate, and that's how we fund most capital acquisitions out there, whether it be dumpsters, trucks, equipment, and the like, and that's rather than on the general non-area-wide taxes.
Okay, that's to come out of our vast profits at the dump. Okay, we've got an amendment on the floor. Mr. Keogh.
To the mayor, to the manager, just a simple question here. Do we have adequate funds in the landfill enterprise fund to do as Mr. Culver suggests and with his amendment?
Currently, right now, we are operating at a deficit, but over the past 3 or 4 years, we are climbing closer to making that not a deficit but breaking even. This will put us behind, but with continued support from the assembly on raising corresponding rates as the years go on, I think we could recover it that way. So the answer is no, we don't have the funds. We don't have the funds right now for what we're operating on, but as we move forward and raise the rates, we could have a plan to recover this funds and make our operation whole.
We will be taking care of this, looking at it again at budget time, right? Assemblymember Culver.
Yeah, this is just kind of like the budget sequester deal. We make the deal now, but we didn't go. We wait till we go off the cliff in May to deal with it.
Let's stick to the amendment, Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, in response to that more or less tongue-in-cheek comment, we made this deal a long time ago.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I support the amendment, and I support the main motion, and I'll be bringing through at budget time, I'll be bringing through to the body for consideration an approach I think that will not only help encourage the profitability and functionality of the Recycle Center, but also encourage the broader citizenry to participate in a recycling program as a whole. and it's done a number of places around the country. And I'll just real quick, it includes a fee adjustment and a credit to the user for involving in the recycling program. So it generates revenue and it encourages recycling, and that will raise more than enough money to take care of this main motion.
Okay, so have I heard objection to this? Yeah, the amendment. Okay, there is objection. Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keough and Salmon opposed.
Thank you. Moving on to Resolution 3. Right. That was an amendment. We have the main motion before us. Thanks, Madam Clerk. Is there objection to the main motion? Hearing none, it passes. And now we move to Resolution 13006.
A resolution establishing fees for MSB 17.66 tall structures, including telecommunication facilities, wind energy conservation systems, and other tall structures.
Who pulled this?
It was pulled by Assemblymember Culligan.
Assemblymember Culligan, you want to move it, please?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 13-006, resolution establishing fees. I would ask my fellow assembly members to not support this and support the appointment of the board and the establishment of having an interim code that it was in 09 or whatever, but I think this is a little premature and would ask that we not support this at this time.
Are you saying that this is incompatible with the substitute motion you're bringing?
Correct.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I'm not sure that it is incompatible with the substitute motion because the fee schedule, as I understand it, was the existing fee this was a fee schedule that existed at the time we evaporated our previous tall tower ordinance. So through the mayor to the manager, can you enlighten us on the fee schedule from the previous tall tower ordinance?
Mr. Manager, there's an imponderable for you.
Yes, the enlightenment is coming forward.
Okay, so what you have before you in Resolution 13-006 would establish fees for 17.66, which is what was adopted in December 4th meeting. We do have a fee schedule already in place for those for 1760 for the permits associated with that. So if you didn't adopt this and or if you did, it wouldn't matter, I guess. If you adopted this, it wouldn't jeopardize the possibility of going back to 1760. It would just establish fees in case you decided not to go back to 1760. But either way, one is in place for 1760, and this would just put them in place if you stuck with what is in place right now, 12-157, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. We will have two sets of fees on the books if we pass this. Assemblymember Keough.
Just a follow-up through the mayor to Mr. Strawn, just to be clear, the dollar amounts in the fee schedule for both versions or as proposed here is the same as the other, yes or no?
Well, it's a little bit different because this has a new permit that wasn't in place before. The network improvement permit is a brand new permit that doesn't have a fee associated with it. The ones that are in place right now are all associated with permits in 1760. Okay, so the permit process has completely changed because you've adopted a brand new section of code, and this would establish fees for those. If you went back to 1760, those are already in place and in the schedule of fees already.
Thank you. I don't think we need to get into the details. Okay, I've heard dissension, so Madam Clerk, the question before us is whether to adopt fees for 17-66.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Culligan, Woods, and Salmon opposed.
Okay. Resolution 13007. No, 13008. That got passed.
Yeah.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Simple question, a clarification. In the past, when we voted on these tower issues, Mr. Culver has recused himself as having had a conflict of interest, and that just crossed my mind as we vote here on that last measure. Does he still have a conflict of interest, or is that subjective?
My thought would be, since it's fees and not code, it would not be as sensitive. What would you say, Mr. Attorney?
As I've told the Assembly before during the ethics rewrite, conflicts of interest are something that, under the code, the individual declares. If somebody thinks that somebody had a conflict and voted in violation of a conflict, the only remedy would be to file a lawsuit to invalidate the action. If Assemblymember Culver doesn't think he had a conflict and didn't want to disclose and ask for a ruling from the chair whether or not he had a potential conflict, that ends the inquiry. There is no mechanism, either at common law or by statutory law, for one person to declare that another person has a conflict and get a binding ruling on it. So
I'd like to appeal to Assemblymember Culver.
For the record, Mr. Mayor, I just kind of viewed this as a ministerial action. We have fees for permits for anything, whether it be a conditional use permit for a liquor license, a land use permit, a plat, not a legislative action on ruling on a height or anything to do with it. We have fees for everything. So it's not on any substance having to do with towers. It's, to me, it's a fee for service, for a permit fee. So I didn't feel like I was conflicted on that. But if you would have ruled differently, I would in the future take that or reconsider the action.
Well, I would agree with you here. I wouldn't agree with you in the next action on the tower.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get there. We'll deal with that.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. It was not an accusation of a conflict. Mr. Culver had recused himself in the past relative to this, and that's the only reason. Had he never done so, I never would have brought it up. But I'm satisfied with the attorney's perspective and yours and Mr. Culver's.
Thank you, and thanks for bringing it up. It's a valid question. So, Madam Clerk, are we ready to go on? We are. 12-3008.
Resolution Sarah number 13008, a resolution supporting the proposed Canyon Creek coal lease.
And before that motion is made, I will point out, since we're on the subject of conflicts of interest, well, I wouldn't have any conflict of interest on this in any way, except that I'm a property owner out there. And that will not pose any problem. So, Assemblymember Salmon, do you want to move that?
That's mine, I believe.
Oh, did you pull it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, please move it.
I move resolution serial number 13-008, and I would like to speak to it. And before I do it, I'd like to ask the clerk to distribute amending language to the resolution. So what we have before us is a resolution endorsing the possible or proposed lease of the Canyon Creek Coal Project put forward by the Department of Natural Resources. I'm going to oppose this for a variety of reasons, and I'll list them rather quickly, and then I'm going to offer an amendment to make this thing better. First off, this resolution is premature. No best interest finding has been made, and no finding will be made for the next many weeks, according to my conversation with the DNR person today. Second, this resolution is, it may feel good to some, but it's relatively meaningless. The determination of whether there will be a competitive lease is on state lands, not borough lands. And it's simply a matter of state jurisdiction. They're going to decide whether to have a competitive coal lease sale or not, irrespective of what we say or recommend. Third, like I already said, that this resolution will have zero impact on DNR's best interest finding decision. Fourth, there is no information in the packet supporting the speculative statements in the resolution. Fifth, these speculative whereases, I'll use an example. The fourth whereas says, a mine is likely to be one of the largest taxpayers in the borough. However, there's nothing supporting such a statement. Where is the source of purported revenue from such a project that's probably 20 years out if it ever happens? Is there a fee per ton for shipping at the port? Well, there might be if coal is ever extracted and shipped from the port, but it's more than likely, since there's no existing infrastructure and since the proposed coal export port at Tyonek is much closer, that the export would occur outside of borough, outside the borough. Again, there's no road infrastructure. There's no infrastructure to transport this coal anywhere from the proposed coal site project. Further, we have no extraction fee, which would be a good source of revenue for the borough. So any suggestion that this project could be one of the largest taxpayers in the borough seems pie in the sky to me. So if we want to make this, make the words of this resolution match some future potential reality, I would amend it to say in two places. So I move to amend the resolution 13008 by inserting the following wording in the third whereas clause to read, whereas if any mine develops in the area, it will likely be some years in the future, which provides sufficient time for responsible consideration of the costs and benefits of a mine through a thorough impact assessment performed by a qualified agency. And by striking the fourth whereas clause in its entirety, inserting in its place, whereas to ensure that a mine will benefit all borough schools and other services, the borough will consider the imposition of an extraction fee of 1% per ton of its contract sale value. That's my amendment. Thank you.
Okay. We have an amendment on the floor, and it's been spoken to. Does anybody else want to speak to it?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
As I don't have that amendment, can you please have the clerk read it again?
Madam Clerk.
In the third whereas clause, after the word future, the words that would be added to that whereas clause is which provides sufficient time for responsible consideration of the costs and benefits of a mine through a thorough impact assessment performed by a quality agency. And by striking the fourth whereas clause in its entirety and inserting whereas to ensure that a mine will benefit the borough school, will benefit all borough schools and other services, the borough will consider the imposition of an extraction fee of 1% per ton of its contract sale value.
I've got a secondary amendment.
Would you say that again?
I have a secondary.
Oh, a secondary, okay.
I would move to strike the first part of Mr. Keel's language and leave the language with respect to consideration for a tipping fee.
We missed the first part of it.
Yeah, I would move to strike the first part of Mr. Keough's amendment and allow the language with respect to a tipping fee or royalty capture to remain.
So your whereas is to strike the first added language on the third whereas and leave the fourth. So essentially your secondary amendment is to strike the third whereas amendment.
Yeah, his proposed language, the maker's proposed language.
Right. I think we got it. So, is there objection to that?
Could you state the secondary amendment? I couldn't hear what you said.
The secondary amendment is to strike the first underlined language you have here for the third whereas clause. So, you're opposing that?
I do oppose, and I oppose it. I oppose.
Okay, Madam Clerk, do you want to take a vote on that?
I sure will. Bear with me just a second, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Woods. Okay.
Just for clarification, Mr. Arvin mentioned something about a tipping fee. Was that in the fourth whereas?
That was in the fourth whereas, yeah.
So could you restate that real quick then?
Well, that's irrelevant to this amendment, the way I accepted it, because we'll deal with that when we get to it.
We are just voting on the
third whereas language that Assemblymember Arvin wants to strike.
So yes would strike that language and a no would keep it in. Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the amendment has passed with Assemblymember Halter, Keough, and Salmon opposed.
So now we have before us the primary amendment as amended, which leaves us with the second bullet, which is new language for the fourth whereas, which reads, whereas to ensure that a mine will benefit all borough schools and other services, the borough will consider the imposition of an extraction fee of 1% per ton of its contract sale value. Is there any further discussion? Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, I'm going to vote for this because it's merely an indication that we are going to support some money-making activities coming in to this borough, and in spite of the fact that it's questionable whether it will ever happen, why I disagree with anybody saying that we're not going to make every opportunity available for increased production and taxpayers are welcome here. Thank you.
But you should be speaking to the amendment, not to the main motion. You should be speaking to the 1% extraction fee. Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin. And Assemblymember Halter, would you turn off your mic?
Oops.
It cuts out. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I guess some might be surprised in my willingness to consider a royalty on an extraction activity, but it's actually something that the borough has not done. It's tried to do by petition before. And, over the last couple of years, I've heard industry almost across the board being receptive to at least a discussion about it. And I think we can be proactive, and Mr. Keough's amendment to kind of put that out there, that the assembly or the Mat-Su borough leadership today is suggesting that we want to engage in that discussion, I actually believe 1% is too much, but I think it's good that we start that discussion, and it probably needs to be more than just coal. So I support the amendment to get to allow industry to start getting used to the idea that local government does have impacts from certain activities, and local government should share in some of the revenue generated by that activity. Thank you.
Okay. We're ready for the Assemblymember Keogh. Okay,
just
while you're speaking, Assemblymember Keogh, do you want to clarify what your intent is? Because we know how to measure a ton, but you're assuming 1% of the value of a ton.
Correct. To answer your question, if the contract sales price is $100 per ton, then we would generate $1 for every ton sold. Does that answer your question?
Right. What would be arguing down the road, though, whether that's where that ton is.
But I appreciate Mr. Arvin's comments, and I would like to point out and remind folks that indeed one of the largest sources of revenues for the Denali Borough is the severance fee, which is another term for an extraction fee for the coal that's extracted from Healy. That is a good source of revenue for that borough. And if we're going to have coal development in the valley, then we should have some way to support the many costs that we're going to have for transportation infrastructure, public safety matters, and other issues. So I appreciate that comment. So 1% is a good number.
Okay. Are we ready for the question? Is there objection? There is objection. So, Madam Clerk, you've got some work.
Assemblymember Halter, and we're on the primary amendment.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Salmon opposed.
Okay. We have before us the primary motion. Is there further discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection?
I object.
Oh, I was looking forward to slapping you on the back.
You can do that as you wish, but
okay.
But for purposes of discussion, we got half a loaf here, but it's not quite a whole loaf. So if we're going to, again, this goes back to the issue of an impact assessment, which this body has not been willing to do, but I think that's necessary given the proposed magnitude of these multiple coal project developments.
Yeah, but that's off point right now. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keogh opposed.
Thank you. And now, finally, Resolution 13009.
A resolution establishing a temporary commission to review and recommend MSB energy policy and potential changes or repeal of MSB 8.32.
Thank you. And before we move this, I will note for the record, since there's been questions about the conflict on this, we have asked for outside legal counsel, and both myself and Assemblymember Arvin are clear on being involved in this, and for my part, I've made that opinion public if anybody wants to see it.
I don't know about Assembly Member Arvin. So, who pulled this?
Keogh did.
Assembly Member Keogh. Assembly Member Keogh.
I move to adopt resolution serial number 13-009. And I would like to speak to that, please.
You may.
First of all, before we debate this, I guess I would like to raise again the issue of recusal. And, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned the legal opinion that we have regarding the potential conflict of interest or not between the between you as a on this and related issue in your capacity as a director of MEA as well as the mayor of the borough, and on Mr. Arvin's part as a director of AEIDA, which is the overseeing agency for the Alaska Energy Authority. So I would ask that Assemblymember Arvin and Mayor DeVilbiss recuse themselves irrespective of the opinion, because as the code reminds us in section 2.71-020B4, that this code is designed to provide for the, quote, consideration of potential ethical problems before they arise. And I guess I would further that proposition by saying these different entities, this one as public elected officials for the local government, have a different responsibility, especially a different fiduciary responsibility than that of our local electric utility, Matanuska Electric Association, or a state energy that has considerable say in large magnitude energy production projects within the borough, such as the Susitna Hydro Project. So for starters, I'd make that request for recusal.
I've spoken to it. You want to speak, Assembly Member Arvin?
Well, I find it interesting. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I find it interesting that the attorney said not 20 minutes ago that an individual cannot declare that somebody else has a conflict. So I find it interesting that Mr. Keogh would step out there and sensationalize this whole issue. Fact of the matter is, there is a legal opinion written. It is third party outside the borough. The facts are as follows. I am a director of AEA. That is not a paid position. It is volunteer. AEA is not weighing in on this task force. The outcome of the task force does not change, would not change, has no influence over my seat as a director for AEA. And the only possible interaction that AEA might have is if the task force comes up with some policy, then staff at AEA would have to follow it. It would have nothing to do with the director level. And AEA is not influencing what the borough is doing. So there is no connectivity. So I don't understand where Mr. Keogh believes there's conflict.
It was simply a request, and you've answered it. Assemblymember Keogh.
Thank you, and I appreciate that comment, Mr. Mayor. It was simply a request. In my view, there is a conflict of interest. We have an opinion from an attorney that says otherwise, and as Mr. Spiropoulos mentioned earlier, it's the decision of the individual, whether mayor or assemblyman, to declare that conflict of interest. So to the issue of the content of this resolution, which to me appears nothing more than a thinly veiled effort to completely repeal 8.32, the power plant code that was established several years ago under the prospect of a coal-fired power plant. And this is a part of the code is specific to 50 megawatt power projects and larger only. So I'm not I can do nothing more than speculate the source of this, but or the impetus for this. But it seems to me to be yet another example of doing away with significant local government code. So so I'm going to oppose this resolution.
Assemblymember Woods.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Your point?
Yeah, my point is I thought we were engaging in a discussion about potential conflicts of interest. I didn't realize we were going to weigh into the meat of the issue. I'm not done with that yet, and I would like to defer to the attorney, and I would like to put a fork in this right now and deal with this and have it identified as conflict or not. I'm not going to let this hang out there for some witch hunt later.
Well, the attorney's already told us we have an opinion. We each have a choice, and we've stated our position. That's the end of it.
With all due respect, Mr. Mayor, if I could follow up, I don't believe that is the end of it. I think with the code that we have in place, given what has been done, which is outside legal counsel or our internal legal review, that there is an actual judgment that is made and needs to be voiced at the table.
Mr. Sopropoulos.
Assemblymember Arvin, as I explained to you and the mayor, I sent this to outside counsel, asked them to review what was going on and render an opinion. That opinion was delivered in a 13-page memo about a week and a half ago or so. It was forwarded to the assembly members after I spoke with both you and then emailed the mayor to make sure that was okay. That legal opinion does say that the mayor in the case of a tie and the assembly member who serves on the ADA board may vote on the resolution creating the temporary committee to study the existing power plant ordinance and may vote to confirm the mayoral appointments. It also reads before that that the mayor may appoint members to the special committee. So the opinion is, as under the ethics code, you're entitled to ask either the ethics board or the borough attorney's office for an opinion, and that is the opinion rendered. Obviously, I didn't render it. It was rendered by outside counsel, but nonetheless, I believe it satisfies the code.
And I would point out, Assemblymember Arvin, that doesn't mean that down the road, depending what this board does and the recommendations that it brings back, that we may need to review. We have no idea what they're going to do or what we're going to be asked to do. So I don't think we can end the issue tonight. But on this action, we are clear. And I really don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, Mr. Mayor, if I might, this is a fairly serious issue, and I just want to make sure that there's been talk, you know, it might be convenient to be, you know, to be an individual that doesn't have any other activities going on in their life, but when one is involved in a number of things like some of us are, I want to make sure that that I am doing what is correct and by code, and I don't want to do something that allows some spruce hen to come and cause me a bunch of personal grief in the future. That's why I want to put a fork in it and be done with it, because I'm kind of tired of it. That was the purpose of my question.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Thank you. Assemblymember Woods and then Assemblymember Culligan.
Thank you. I was going to speak to the main motion here and say that because the existing policy MSB 8-32 has caused us to lose electrical generation within our own borough, I think a study needs to be done. So I'm going to vote for it. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, thank you. I was appreciative being able to speak finally to my own resolution and clarify a few things. Number one, after all of the drama and theater, my intent is there is ordinance in place that I think was purely put in place because coal fire, the fear of a coal fire generation, and unfortunately has overreaching components that affect the entire borough. Our utility has clearly placed power generation outside of our borough, and this last several weeks, lots of drama in Wasilla as our utility is trying to figure out how to get high voltage power down the Parks Highway from this new generation plant to Kinnick Goose Bay where the growth is, rather than building a power generation plant on the other side of the borough out by the ports or other locations. And it's very unfortunate that that discussion is needed to take place. And my intent is to have a energy board look at our energy policy, modify it, whatever needs to happen. But we need to be cognizant. At the same time, our needs for and all the things identified in our economic development plan that we now have 25 committees on, many of those new industry, new jobs need access to affordable power and energy, and my intent is to have this group of people address those and move on. But it's very unfortunate. It was just highlighted this last week as sabers were rattling in Wasilla and all over. Everybody wants to put the utilities underground so we won't see them. Well, high-voltage power lines aren't just high-voltage power lines underground. They're underground pipelines with transformer oils. And somebody happens to dig into that, it's not just digging up electrical line. It's an oil spill and contaminant, has all sorts of other effects. And I would just like to have a group of people identify what our energy policy is and do we need to modify it and have that engaging discussion. But I think the policy we currently have was around one issue, and I'd like to have it reviewed. It's pretty simple.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culver.
I have an amendment on the second page of the resolution. Says the composition of the committee of 5 members. I would like to make an amendment to replace one of the at-large members with 1 member from the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the Matsuburo Fish and Wildlife Commission. And I'll speak to that.
Let me put it on the floor. So there's an amendment to replace one at-large member with a member from the Fish and Wildlife Commission. You may speak to it.
Yeah, thank you. To me, this is much bigger than a 50-megawatt power plant. Wantana is in our borough boundaries. We need to be, we grappled with some groups or folks that were going to help assist in advising the assembly on that project, and remember, we did the resolution. It got too cumbersome, and it failed, and we never came back and had anybody at the table. But that's going to require local permits if it was to be permitted underneath this this law we have. But it's going to require access roads. There are going to be surface impacts that are much bigger than the dam itself and to the waters, the fish. And they are looking at that, but this will, if we have somebody from the Fish and Wildlife Commission looking at this code, so if the code's going to be reviewed, let's have a code that's going to work for local permits for Wantana, because like the pipeline, you don't have hunting within 5 miles of the haul road because of the impacts to the wildlife populations. You'll have the similar situation. It's very highly used hunting area. This will increase the access if the mine road is built or the power plant road is built to the dam. There's going to be a lot of impacts. This is probably a ways down the road, but if we do have a permit process in place after this is over, we'll need some expertise to advise us on what our new code would look like.
Thank you. On the amendment, Assemblymember Solomon.
I'm going to speak in opposition to it by virtue of the history that Assemblymember Culver brought up on the Wantana thing. I recall that Assemblymember Arvin wanted this guy, and Assemblymember Keel wanted that guy, and Assemblymember Halter wanted this guy, and Assemblymember Culligan wanted all the guys, and this is a mayoral appointment, and Fish and Game Energy, I guess, if you stretch your imagination to the nth degree, they would have something to say about whether or not how our energy policy should be related to the generation. But I think that the mayor, in his appointment, taking Mr. Culver's point into due consideration, can appoint someone that would meet that need of his own due course and have us vote on that. So I vote in opposition to the amendment.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I just wanted to reiterate, I think the intent wasn't project specific. It was to look at the sources and uses and types of energy and have a policy that then other discussions could lead from. But I think without having, looking at our, especially our economic development goals and some other things, rather than being project specific, whether it's Wantana, whether it's a coal power generation in Palmer, which was the impetus of this, I think it's a little premature. I would like to have some folks with experience outline some policy based on what our general needs are and then discuss projects. But I think that you're going to jump down too many rabbit holes then.
Are you speaking for or against the amendment?
I'm going to speak against the amendment and move on from there.
Assemblymember Keogh.
I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment, even though I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment because of the narrow scope of the proposed members of this committee. We have one member that's MEA specific, another, so we have one proposed member of this committee who's a power generator and distributor. We have another one, NSTAR, who is a power, who supplies energy for the energy, for the electric utility. We don't have anybody from the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Further, in addition to that, we have no one that represents other aspects of an energy policy, such as conservation or renewable energy or alternative energy, which should be part of this dialogue, and we should have such members included in this panel. So, but speaking specifically to the amendment, I'll support the addition or the replacement of a general public member with a Fish and Wildlife Service Commission member.
I next have Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I support Mr. Culver's theory on this, adding that fish and game. I actually think we should keep two at-large members plus add a fish and game. And I agree with Mr. Keogh, have a little bit broader perspective on this. And I guess I have a question for the lawyer, too. If we're going to do something with 832, does this have to be referred to the Planning Commission?
Yes. Any potential changes to that would have to go through the Planning Commission for a recommendation before they come here. But the creation of this committee does not.
Thank you.
Ready for the question? Assemblymember Culver.
Okay, I've got a secondary to the primary to increase the membership to 7 members. And we'd still have the 2 at-large, plus 1 Fish and Wildlife Commission member and 1 representative from the renewable energy sector. So you make 7, you'd have the Fish and Wildlife Commission and renewable energy basically added to this for a total of 7.
So we have a secondary amendment adding 2 more seats, a renewable energy and Madam Clerk, when this undoes part of the First Amendment, is it still an amendment? Right. So we'd have 2 at large and 1 Fish and Wildlife Commission member and 1 renewable energy member. Is that clear? Assemblyman Culligan.
As a maker of the resolution, I would like to speak in support of that.
Okay. Is there any objection to the secondary amendment? There's no objection according to Mayor Halter. So now we have the We have the secondary amendment, the primary amendment as amended. Is there any amendment or objection to that? No objection. We now have before us the final resolution, so Assemblymember Keogh can vote no. Oh, okay. Is there any objection to the main motion? Well, okay. As amended. Let's take a break. We've got... it did pass, right. We're done with our consent agenda. And we'll take... let's be back here at 9:15.
Number 1318, ordinance serial number 1319, ordinance serial number 136, with accompanying ordinance 137, ordinance 138, with accompanying ordinance 139, ordinance serial number 1310, with accompanying ordinance 1311, and ordinance 1312, with accompanying ordinance 1314, ordinance 1315, with accompanying ordinance 1316, ordinance serial number 1320, ordinance serial number 1321, ordinance serial number 1322, and AM 13012, ordinance serial number 13023, ordinance serial number 13024, ordinance serial number 13025, and for introduction for public hearing on February 19th, ordinance 132, ordinance serial number 133, ordinance serial number 134, and ordinance serial number 135.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, I move the introductions as read into the record by the clerk for 2005 meeting of 2013 and 2019 meeting of 2013.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing none. We have our introductions, and we now have the vacancy report. Assemblymember Solomon. Now, first of all, Assemblymember Arvin, are you on board?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, I'm looking for my paper on those. Was that lost somewhere down the line? Madam Clerk,
I don't know.
I'm not sure I have.
He'd had it this morning. Did I want to say?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I have that list.
Okay, we'll take care of that. You guys control
yourself. I have
yourself.
It somewhere, but I have way too much paper here, girlfriend.
There they are.
See, I can't get very well. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the mayor's confirmations this evening as follows. The Animal Care and Regulation Board, John Wood and Terry Maracci. Board of Adjustment and Appeals, Tina Crawford. Borough Area School Site Selection Committee, Warren Keogh and Darcy Solomon. Enhanced 9/11 Advisory Board, Carl Hereford. Health and Social Services Board, Herman Thompson. Local Emergency Planning Committee, resignation of Glenn Stevens and the appointment of Michael Maluski. Matsu Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission, Jim Culver. Parks, Recreation and Trails Advisory Board, Daniel Harrell. Planning Commission, Bruce Walden. Port Commission, John Riggs. Transportation Advisory Board, Lamar Anderson. Wastewater and Septic Advisory Board, Thomas Healy. Caswell Fire Service Area, Cheryl Newsom. Big Lake Road Service Area, Leo Von Schaben. Midway Road Service Area, Carol Selkirk. North Colony Road Service Area, Barbara Gerard. And South Colony Road Service Area, Edward Strabel. Quite a list tonight.
Yeah, thank you. We got a bunch.
Mr. Mayor?
Coming to Assemblymember Halter.
Is it appropriate to move to divide at this time? I was going to do that on Big Lake RSA 21, Mr. Von Schaben.
That is appropriate.
Please do so.
So there's a motion to divide the question, separating out the Big Lake RSA. Is there objection to that?
Yes.
Okay, there is objection to dividing the question, so... Madam Clerk, do you want to call the roll?
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yeah. To divide?
To divide.
That's a yes. Divides it? Yeah. No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Culver, Halter, and Keough in support.
Okay. We have before us the undivided question, and I would like to point out there were two appointments that I moved back to do with the school board. They were both school board committees. One was the joint committee and the other one was the site selection committee. I was asked to pull those back by the school board president because they're in a major reorganization mode. So there was nothing personal going on there. So we have before us the vacancy report. Is there any further discussion? Assemblymember Keough.
Yes, regarding the Big Lake Road Service Area 21 candidate, Leo von Schaben, who sounds like a fine candidate, but I would just like to acknowledge the service of Jim Clemenson, who was the longtime primary of the Big Lake Road Service Area. And looks like this all nominees in this confirmation process will go forward, but I would like to, at this time, especially acknowledge Mr. Clemenson's past service.
And I would certainly concur with that. Assemblymember Halter.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something, too, and especially to Mr. Salmon. It wasn't anything about Ms. Van Schaven. I went to a lot of the big road board meetings where they get together. Mr. Clemenson was a very valuable road service superintendent, so I just have a lot of respect for him. That's all I wanted to say tonight.
Thank you, and I do too. I interviewed all three of those applicants, and I have nothing but respect for the service, and I hope to do something special for Mr. Clemenson. We have before us the vacancy report. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. Madam Clerk, do you want to read this motion to amend?
You did. Wrong time to put a cracker in my mouth. Ordinance serial number 12-157, an ordinance amending MSB 17.125 definitions and adopting MSB 17.66, tall structures including telecommunication facilities, wind energy conservation systems, and other tall structures.
Okay, Assemblymember Culligan.
I move to amend ordinance serial number 12-157, which was previously adopted on December 4th, by substitute ordinance 12-157, which includes a handout in the red folder.
You may speak to it.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare a conflict and ask to recuse myself. The continuation of the last time we did this, and I recuse.
I accept that and think it's totally appropriate. Assemblymember Culligan.
I think it's more appropriate appointing the board to review the tall tower structure and reinstitute if we're going to have something in place as what was in place before this drama started, and wait and see what happens from the recommendations from the board and move forward from there.
Okay, further discussion. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I disagree with Assemblymember Culligan on this issue. Over a month ago, after over a year-long absence of having any tall tower ordinance, we finally arrived at one. And this was brought, I sponsored the legislation to bring this forward. And at the time that I did that, I offered a substitute ordinance, which was the old one. So I guess my question, my rhetorical question would be, where was Mr. Culligan when he had the opportunity to make this substitution 5 weeks ago? So now we find ourselves after an over year-long absence of any tall tower ordinance, we finally get something on the books, and the very next meeting, by a procedure that's not typically used for this purpose, where we move to amend an ordinance previously adopted, we're going to undo that completely and revert to the old one. The only good thing about this, if it passes, is we'll still have some tall tower ordinance on the book. But I think procedurally, it's fair, it's legal, we can do this. However, this is pretty unusual stuff. Usually when we have this kind of a matter, as someone in the public mentioned earlier, that it's to tweak legislation that's previously been passed to strike a small item, make a corrective note, or some small amendment. This is a wholesale change. So I think if we're going to go down this road, then I would suggest to Mr. Colligan that he be prepared to see this won't be the first or the last time that we have a wholesale change or significant changes for repeals or a wholesale change of ordinances that have already been passed the previous meeting. And I'm obviously going to oppose this change.
Okay. I think we all understand exactly what's happening here. Is there further discussion?
I'd like to make an amendment in Section 4.
Okay. Assemblymember Woods has an amendment. He's still there, Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, I got the call dropped right when Mr. Woods was making his amendment to Section 4, and then I lost connection.
Okay. Actually, you didn't miss anything. There's been a long silence.
Okay, thank you.
I'm looking in the wrong part for this amendment. Section 4 and MSB 1760-030, permits required is amended by inserting the following. Number 4, tall structures exceeding
the...
He
already included it. You were good.
Oh,
he already included that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Excuse me. They've been included.
Okay. Any further discussion? I've heard objections, so Madam Clerk, would you vote? Let's be very clear.
Could I have the clerk read exactly what we're voting on here? I want to know.
We are substituting the language from the original tower ordinance to replace all the language from the ordinance that we adopted at the last meeting.
I can be really clear. You want me to?
Madam Clerk, can you make it clearer?
Sure.
To add on top of what the mayor said, basically the ordinance that was adopted on 12-4 is being replaced with the item in your packet that was the original ordinance back in 2011 before it was deleted, and that's on page 1085 through 1099 of the packet, plus adding what was in your red folder to make an addition to 1760.030.
Can I make a motion?
You may.
I'd like to make a motion to refer both of those to the Planning Commission.
For how long?
Which one's going to be on the books?
The one that's on there now.
Well,
the motion would still be open.
I need advice. I don't see how we're the motion is to adopt, not to forward.
I think legally it's got to go to the Planning Commission.
It will go to our commission. Mr. Spropoulos, I need help. Can we put two on the books?
You're not putting two on the books.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, what you passed on December 6th, was it? Or
5th.
4th? Whatever that was. What you passed is there and is on the books. This is a motion to amend what is already there. What Mr. Assemblymember Halter is suggesting is that this get referred to the Planning Commission to see what they think of the proposed amendment to amend what's already on the books. So can you refer to the Planning Commission? The answer is yes.
But the original would still be on the books.
Unless and until amended.
Okay, so the motion is to refer the original ordinance and the substitute language to the Planning Commission. Is that right?
I need a time frame, Mr.
And time frame?
Generally, it's 90 days to get it back to us.
Okay.
Okay. Motion is before us to refer.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
I heard the attorney say that we can defer it to the Planning Commission, but I'm not clear on if it's required to go there.
Mr. Spropoulos?
Well, Assemblymember Arvin, you raise a very interesting legal question, one in which I've discussed with both Assemblymember Keough and Assemblymember Culligan over this amendment. The requirement that the Planning Commission review proposed changes to code comes from a case called Griswold. Basically, the Supreme Court there said, hey, look, there's a statutory framework here where the Planning Commission has to advise the Assembly what they think about an ordinance. But the Assembly doesn't have to take that advice, but they have to get advice. So the question that comes up is, after the Planning Commission sees something, when it goes to the Assembly, can the Assembly amend it? In my opinion, the answer is yes. And then it becomes a matter of degree. Well, how much can you amend it? Well, the Planning Commission has considered the issue. They've looked at this towers ordinance. They looked at a towers ordinance. And I think the Assembly was free to amend it on December 4th. And I did explain that to Assemblymember Keough. That is an aggressive interpretation. I did also explain it to Assemblymember Culligan that it is an aggressive interpretation. But I think it is one that is defensible. So the answer then is no, not necessarily. It does not have to go back to the Planning Commission. There is a risk in not sending it. But to say that every amendment that the Assembly wanted to move had to get moved by the Planning Commission would open the door to say you could not amend any ordinance. And then the Planning Commission, the unelected appointed body, could then thereby hold the elected body hostage. And I don't think that's the intent of the statutes.
Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
You know, it's a pretty liberal thing to call this an amendment. It's a total substitution of a total different ordinance. It's, you know, I don't know much about Griswold. But, you know, you'd think that they'd take something like this and they'd say, slap our hands pretty hard. Because you're kind of going around what the Supreme Court case is holding. Now, if it was a true amendment like you do in one paragraph, I could understand what you're saying. That's pretty simple and probably pretty fair. But this is just not right. So.
Mr. Mayor?
Well,
besides that, that's what we have a Planning Commission for. And, you know, that's their job to kind of sort this out and get back and give us some advice. And I'd appreciate it having some other people look at it and get us back and tell us whether they want this set of ordinances or and which one we should go with. So.
Well, I just want to remind you the track I'm on, regardless of what you do, it's going to go to the commission. It's going to go then to the planning committee. It's going to go to our committee. Then it's going to go to the Planning Commission, and then it's going to come back. They'll be looking at everything. Well, you asked Mr. Keough. He's the one that brought it back at the last meeting.
this motion to amend tonight.
I mean, why do we have a motion to amend tonight if we're doing the grass that you were just talking about, which I agree with, by the way. I have no problem with it.
Assemblymember Colligan could speak to that.
It was to reintroduce what was previously on the books rather than a bunch of new jewelry and Christmas tree ornaments in the interim for an interim process until this board and commission, the planning commission, does. I think it's only reasonable if we're going to have something on the books that we go back to the way it was in the interim and be done with it. And the rest is just talk.
Okay, so speaking to the motion, we've got a motion to refer right now. Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, in response to Assemblymember Culligan, I thought we were done with it last meeting. So now a question through the mayor to the attorney. If this does not go to the Planning Commission as amended, we have a reversion back to the old code, could any assembly member bring this back to amend an ordinance previously adopted and reintroduce the one that we passed last time?
That would be
that's a parliamentary question.
Right,
have
that's
to defer
a clerk,
to the clerk.
That's a clerk question, and believe me, what's been done tonight has been thoroughly reviewed. We're on solid ground with Dr. Roberts, but I'll let Madam Clerk speak to it.
Yes, you could. However, let me phrase this too, is that the longer you wait, I would say if you're waiting a certain amount of time, I would say at least a number of months before you bring back a motion to amend something previously adopted, like 3 months, I would always recommend to that member that they reintroduce a piece of legislation. Roberts does not give a timeline for motion to amend something previously adopted.
So before us is an amendment to refer, and it's pretty clear. It would certainly delay moving ahead with substituting with what's on the books right now. So, Madam Clerk, there's dissension. Would you call the vote?
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion to refer has failed with Assemblymember Halter and Keogh in support.
We have before us the substitute motion. Are we going to talk about it some more? I guess not. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the vote? And Assemblymember Halter, would you turn it off, except when you're voting?
He's going to be the first one. Yeah, Assemblymember Halter. This is on the motion to substitute.
I'm not much in favor of that. No.
Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passes with Assemblymember Halter and Keogh opposed.
Thank you. We are ready to end this meeting with Assembly Mayor and staff comments. We'll start with staff. Mr. Manager?
Yes. Thank you very much. It is not midnight, and I'm very happy. Parks Highway Design Open House is Wednesday, January 30th at Houston High School on Hawk Lane. It is an open house, so you can kind of show up at any time on January 30th from 4:30 to 7:30. And this is the Parks Highway, mile 44 to 52. That is all I have for this evening.
Thank you. And Mr. Spropoulos? Madam Clerk?
Nothing.
Well, so Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Citizen Advisory Committee for the in-state pipeline ASAP.
Can you turn your mic on?
They've come up with a new design concept. Originally, the pipeline was to include the gas liquids, and they would then have a topping plant near Fairbanks and run methane into Fairbanks, and the pipe would go to Port McKenzie and another topping plant there as well, separate the gas liquids for export or other use, and then the methane would go into the NSTAR gas system. Well, there was a lot of pushback from Fairbanks because of the expense of the topping plant or the whatever the facility's called it. Separates the liquids from the dry gas, and they changed the project design to then strip out the liquids on the north slope and just send methane down at lower pressure in a 20-inch pipe, therefore reducing the tariff to Fairbanks and winning over some of the Fairbanks opposition. But then the net effect is at Point McKenzie, where we have encouraging industrial development, we don't have the gas feedstock for any other further industry or shipping out of our port. So I don't know if that'll fly through the legislature, if it's funded for the next phase. The cost estimate's about $7.5 billion, and they're asking for a large chunk of change to get it to the 25% level for a design level for a good cost estimate. And then there was another meeting, basically, of the ASAP Citizen Advisory Group about the 28th of December, I believe it was, or thereabouts. Basically, the same stuff was covered. As far as legislative issues, one thing that reared its head...
Could I ask you a question on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So with that lower pressure, will it still handle the 500...
That question did come up. With the compressor sizes they have, it won't exceed the threshold for the AGEA pipeline, the 500,000 or whatever, the half a billion cubic feet. The pipe diameter is big enough to handle more if you add more compressors, and that question was asked by somebody on the in-state gas caucus panel. Would we violate AGEA and therefore trigger a problem with that having to repay or pay treble damages in a contract dispute? And the answer was no, because we're not building it to that spec. So we could put more than that in there if they added more compressors down the road, but for initial function. But on the other hand, Willow could probably get some gas off of that because they wouldn't have a cracking plant there. But if we extended our infrastructure up to Willow anyway, we could backfeed from Point McKenzie, so there are different ways to look at it. So one issue that came up is folks are out, of course, recreating, and had a constituent call that right next to their cabin, they plowed a road, built a parking lot, plowed a parking lot on Big Lake. And they had ice houses come in and took over their parking lot. They paid to plow right next to their dock, and they're really unhappy that, you know, they didn't give them any privacy or any room. And co-compliance checked it out, said, you know, you need a permit. They came down and got a permit, but the permit's really only to make sure you haul it away in the spring. There's no rules about how far you have to be away from somebody's dock or something. So I might be looking at... drafting something so that we don't create conflicts by the people were not they were asked to maybe move a little bit and we're not cooperative, so there's plenty of lake out there. I don't know why people have to camp right where your neighbor is, but so that might be coming forward. I guess that's about it for now. I'm real pleased again that we got Joe Perkins running the road show, because now I feel like we can see results happening. So,
thank you, Assemblymember Colligan.
One quick comment. I got a call over the holiday from a constituent in my area, but Snow Machine in Mr. Halter's area, kind of concerns about signage since the floods and stuff, bridges and stuff are taken out, but the detour signs and stuff, now that there's snow and lots of people heading out there, wasn't real clear, and I was wondering what administration or road service is doing or could do about that. So, other than that, no.
Assemblymember Woods.
I'm very interested in the anti-development group that is filing lawsuits against everything that would bring well-paid jobs to this area and help pay the tax bills. And I think really they don't understand that we're running out of money. There are not the jobs coming forward that will help us maintain the lifestyle we really would like to maintain. So anyway, that's my only comment here. We had a long vacation, and it looks like we're going to go back to work. So everybody's be happy. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
I enjoyed my holidays very much and wish you all a very happy new year. Look forward to progress in relationship to the economic development of the borough. I see good things on the horizon, and as with Mr. Woods, we'll just continue to work through the obstacles as they come before us, and I wish you all a great week. Thank you.
Assemblymember Keel.
No comment.
Assemblymember Halter.
I finished a Conservation 300 sled dog race at 8:01 a.m. this morning. Started at 10:32 Saturday morning. Had three teams in it, 34 dogs, 33 dogs finished. My Brazilian musher was fantastic, and my 60-year-old New Zealand musher finished the toughest race on earth. So I got a sore throat, raspy voice. We were in a rainstorm. I think it was Sunday morning, 2 a.m. It was raining so hard that if you had a car, the windshield wipers on, it'd have to be in high. And it's the first time I was thinking, boy, an assembly meeting would be kind of fun right now.
Very good. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't really have much to say about tonight's meeting other than I guess it is remotely enjoyable from time to time to sit through a meeting that has much to do about drama and less to do about the people's work. That's the end of my comments. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just say that I got a couple of calls today from people that weren't getting garbage service because their roads weren't safe, and I think the manager took care of that during the meeting. I'd like to thank you too for dealing with the tower ordinance, because I approved that at the last meeting because I didn't think it was right to jerk people around and then do nothing. But by the same token, I think that slapping a new ordinance on the industry without when they've been working under a set of rules and building all of their towers in the interim period when there was no construction under those rules, that was jerking them around quite a bit. So I think we're in a better position to move forward, but believe me, the new board will be looking at all of that, and we'll see it down the road. I don't have any further comments, so if there's no objection, we will adjourn.